record you people.
What are you eating? I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you tell?
It was just He's a thing. Eating? The thing just happened right there. I spent a day at the Social Security office today.
Fun.
Because I want to apply early, you know?
Yeah, get in there and just let them know who's who and what's what, and that you're there.
I've got more than a decade to go, but I figure, you know, I might as well just start introducing myself.
That's nice of you. Hi.
So how did it take that long to get an answer?
Oh, my God.
Really?
All right. So I went in to go get, I had to do, fill out some paperwork and do some stuff. It's a family kind of a situation. And I go in and they, you know, you take a number.
Yes.
And it's like 173.
It was 31. I'm like, 31?
That sounds
this
very promising.
Great. And then the, you know, then the loudspeaker, you hear.
You have to go take your chair over there while you're waiting.
Were you the one on Lawrence over there?
Or no.
Another one?
How do you know where it is?
I go with my grandma all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Grandma lives in another country.
Yeah. Well, how did she get Social Security?
She worked here for 25 years.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Me letting us how to cook the books. Grandma, we'll find a way. So
she cleaned this building.
The feds are going to be knocking at your door right now.
No, they already are. They already are.
They don't know where we live.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, right.
Not
so
on record.
It was kind of an interesting moment because as I'm standing there, you know, you, like an electronically generated number, I'm sitting down, I'm thinking 31, that's going to be good. And they were at like number 11.
Yeah, but then as you walk over and you see the looks on the people's faces that are waiting.
Without question. number 11, number 11 coming at window 2. Number 11, number 2.
And I thought, all right, this is great. So I'm looking at my clock. I sit down, and it's like a waiting room at an airport, right? I'm just, you know, kind of sitting there, and I'm looking at my phone and, you know, just trying to mind my own business.
Sure.
And not
get some
doing
work
anything.
Done while you're there on your phone or something.
Unfortunately, I was right next to the window where everybody lines up to ask questions in foreign languages, which is really funny, including one that I think Violetta could have helped out with.
I try to help as many people when I'm there.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. But then, like, I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, okay, then they call 12, and I'm like, you know, like 5 minutes later, so I'm like, all right, well.
Doing the math.
Okay, so I got 20 times 5,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Can't
really
be that
bad. So then they start calling numbers that are not even numbers.
Oh.
F 25, 55, 2, 6, 21, turn left, 5, Omaha.
And then they start screaming because nobody knows where to go.
Right. This is hold up.
And this is how the technology works in there too.
This is your last call. Omaha, F-255-55-25-55-25.
I know. I'm like, this lady's in a walker. It's going to take her a while to go down the 3 long hallways.
Right. So I finally get the, so 2 hours and 5 minutes later, kind of almost sort of a little later, I'm sitting there, I put myself in a Zen trance.
Oh, good.
And then I go up to the call number 31, and I go to my window, and I sit down. It's a lovely woman on the other side of what appears to be a bullet and bomb-proof window. And she keeps asking me questions, and I have to put my head down to the little slit at the bottom.
She can't hear you.
Right? And I'm like screaming into the slit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm handing her paperwork. And then she said, oh, you're going to have to come back.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
Did you not have your paperwork?
I have my paperwork. You have to have a meeting, though. I go, well, I'm here for a meeting. No.
You could have taken a number for that. That would have been okay.
What about another meeting?
So you got to go back?
To go back. We don't have any meetings until February.
Oh, my God.
So I have to go back for a meeting in February. Which is not even, I mean, the ship will have sailed on this issue by then.
No way.
So I don't even know what to do.
Heartbreak City right
there. Yeah, it's just weird.
And there was no way to expedite it given your special circumstances because you do have.
Did you say you were Rokan? Do you know who
I am?
And
I don't mean that. I mean the family member you're dealing with has got special circumstances.
There's no circumstance for anything. You can't break protocol.
No.
Fill out another paper.
Oh, there was a guy yelling from behind the other, the information thing about a woman, get away from the window.
Oh, gee. It got
because
ugly.
She was coming too close to the window. And
oh,
I'm thinking,
no.
there was like a little old lady in a coat that's way too big.
Oh.
She apparently bought the coat years ago. And now, you know, as people, they shrink as they get older.
Poor thing.
They do.
Right. And so the woman she's like shrunk into her coat. And it's sort of like, you're
going to have to get away from the window. Step away from the window. Step away from. Oh, what?
no one can hear you.
No, step away from the window.
She needed to yell a little bit more into that little slot below the window.
She was trying. Then I was going to go up and yell for her. And I thought, well, that's probably a bad idea. I felt a little at that moment like I'm on the Titanic.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling. Anyway. A month, though. I'm sorry. Gee, that's... Yeah.
More than a month. Plus 31 days has... Yeah, you know, it's going to be a while. I'm just hoping everybody's still breathing by the time I get to this thing.
Oh, boy.
Including, most importantly, me. All right.
So 2 hours to get to the window, and then you got that answer.
Right. I'm sorry. I have to come back.
Of course.
And there's a picture of a smiling Donald Trump and Mike Pence. That's my favorite part. Mike Pence gets to get his picture up at the Social Security office. Why does he get to get his picture up?
How about that?
I mean, and it's funny because I've been spending some time at the VA recently, too, because that's, you know, again, mm-hmm. I'm introducing myself around. And at the VA, they got this gigantic picture of Donald Trump. And I was talking to one of the VA people about it. And I go, well, he's really smiling and stuff. And they go, oh, man, they had to change the picture. There was a scowling picture first. And then they sent us all new ones. Like his original headshot for they had to redo that. That's its own story, that they had to redo the federal headshot for the president and reissue it to all the places that it had been hanging.
Because
did not look friendly.
And now it's very friendly.
Yeah, it's super friendly.
Smiling at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you had something to look at while you were in there.
There you go. All right, Lourdes Duarte is going to join us from the WGN TV newsroom coming up in just a moment. But first, Kim Gordon, what's happening in the bottom of the hour of the WGN radio newsroom?
Roe, President Trump's former lawyer and fixer, plans to testify to an open session of Congress.
Legendary blues man Buddy Guy takes Steve Sanders back to where it all began, Lettsworth, Louisiana. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
Wow.
How about that?
Lourdes Duarte is joining us right now from said institution, and that's Steve Sanders. He's like a rockabilly king. He's a big guitar player and stuff. So this means a lot to him.
Very talented.
Yeah,
he's amazing. The coolest guy here, by the way, at WGN. I gotta say,
he kind of is.
He is.
He kind of is. So almost like a jazz cat kind of cool.
We share all, well, his office is right next to mine, so every now and then I'll be doing some work and I just hear the guitar. Just nice little melody there. Thank you so much, Steve Sanders, for that.
See, he brings his guitar. That Ryan Shevarini does it at work, too, but he takes his pants off while he's playing his guitar. It's the weirdest thing.
He does it shirtless, I heard.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but it's weird, but it happens.
Ladies love him.
Just he's in his boxer shorts playing guitar in his office. I know.
Yeah,
it's a shocker.
It's a very different scene, but Steve is very talented. Yeah. They're both very talented.
I'm just going to...
Yeah, all right, so Steve keeps his pants on. That's the most important.
Okay.
All right, good. That's important. All right, so what's coming up on the WGN TV News?
You know what? Actually, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit. I'm off the newscast today, believe it or not. I'm not doing the 4, the 5, or the 6, but I am going to be doing the mayoral forum this evening starting at 7 o'clock. I don't know if you've heard, but WGN is going to carry that forum live here starting at 7. It runs for about an hour and a half, and we are told 13 of the candidates will be there. They're setting up right now, and we'll touch on a number of things. Obviously, with 13 candidates, there's not a lot you can go through, but we'll touch on ethics reform and business and crime in Chicago and police, how to handle that relationship between police and community. So the setup is happening right now. That, again, begins at 7 o'clock tonight, and I'm hoping you guys will be watching.
We will.
That is quite a circus to wrangle right there.
It is. 13 candidates. It is hard. Very difficult. Today, of course, there was a lot of talk about the Laquan McDonald situation with Preckwinkle's ad that came out, and a lot of candidates thought she was taking a little too much credit for blowing the whistle on that.
Yeah,
situation.
And that was something that we were hoping to talk to her about. It's my understanding that she had initially agreed to be a part of the forum. And again, this is mostly put together by the 36th Ward. So they told us that she initially said, yes, I will be at the forum. As of a few hours ago, we are told that she has a conflict and will not be able to attend tonight's forum.
I can't make it. I got a conflict.
Maybe she's at the Social Security office.
Maybe it takes
a couple hours.
A couple hours to find out you need a meeting.
Yes,
that's what I learned.
She won't be there tonight.
Oh, that's something.
They didn't tell us what the conflict is, but all we were told is that she will not be in attendance. Jerry Joyce will not be there today, last minute, or finding out just in the last few hours.
All right. Huh? Well, here's the ad that's causing all of the trouble here.
16 shots, 9 in the back. Facts that the police and city officials tried to bury. Facts that Tony Preckwinkle brought to light. It was Tony who made sure Laquan McDonald's autopsy went public. Tony, who called for the dash cam footage to be released. Tony demanded the police chief be fired and helped oust the state's attorney for not doing her job. Tony Preckwinkle, a mayor who does what's right.
Taking a lot of credit there.
Yeah, and it's been getting a lot of buzz on social media with people saying exactly that, Ro. Is she taking too much credit for the facts that came out in the Laquan McDonald shooting? I've got to imagine that tonight, those 13 candidates there may make mention of that, may at least address it in their thoughts on what role she actually played in that.
Yeah. All right.
Interesting point, yeah.
All right. Well, we wish everybody... You know what? We actually only wish Lourdes the best of luck.
Yes,
that's, I need it.
Because, I don't know, it's 13. Where are we? Where is this being held? Or is it a secret location?
No. I can tell you. It's at Steinmetz College Prep on the northwest side. Tamon Bradley, our political reporter here at WGN, will be joining me. So we'll try to make sure that everybody stays in line. But again, it's a forum. It's not a debate.
So now, do you have Tamon Bradley go out there and, like, you know, rough them up if there's all right?
No, that's what I do.
Or you go out there and you, like, you take them, all right, you're out of here, pull them by the ear.
Listen, you're out. You're talking
we
too
should
much.
Do you know they should do it apprentice style. You should every few minutes you should fire another candidate.
Wrong answer, sorry, you're gone. Lie. You're out.
Sounds like a new WGN show to me.
I like the idea. Don't give them any ideas. We've already seen what some of these things can turn into. I just, you know, you wonder if I would love to have a debate where you tie them up to some sort of electric shock thing.
Oh.
And if it turns out they lied, you just, okay.
I think what we just need is that the little buttons you press for news or ruse. And when they say the wrong thing and they misrepresent the record, you give them one of those.
I want one of those to walk through life with.
Right.
I need one of those.
Oh, I know.
Wouldn't it be helpful?
It really would. It would warn other people, at least.
Right. Love you, honey.
No. It can't be used that way. No.
I'm talking
about fact checking.
Oh, all right.
Talk about emotions and relationships that way.
Where were you last night? Well, I was home.
That's a fact.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a problem. It's always a problem. All right. Well, best of luck to you and Tamon.
Thank you so much.
I don't know how you guys... What did you guys do wrong that they gave you this straw?
Exactly. That was my question exactly to the boss. Yeah, no. You know, Tamon Bradley's our political reporter, so I'm just going to leave it all to him.
Uh-huh.
And I will just, you know, kind of keep it together there. Whatever he says, I will do.
Something happened there for you, Lourdes. I don't know what it is. You might want to put, you know, a lawyer, an agent or something. Make a phone call and just sort of say, hey, are you mad at her? What did she do?
Is my contract being renewed?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Why would they send her out to the 13 candidates, five of whom no one knows their name? I mean, are we even sure that they're on the ballot? I mean, because there's people showing up. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm running for mayor. And they're like, no, you're not.
You're not on the ballot.
Oh,
is Willie Wilson going to be there?
Yes, he is. Willie Wilson will be there. Let's see who else. Again, I said Tony Preckwinkle will not, but Susana Mendoza will be there, as well as Paul Vallis. They've all confirmed.
Bill Daley.
We were told today, this morning, actually, that he did, in fact, confirm to attend the forum. So we'll see. We'll see what happens come 6:30, 6:45 tonight.
I'll tell you, television turned the tide in the most, I think, comparative mayoral election of our lifetimes, or, you know, the last half century at least, which was the 79 election with Jane Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and then subsequently, it was her performance in the debates that landed her that job. And then, again, in 1983 with Harold Washington. Mopping the floor with Rich Daley and Jane Byrne together and, you know, setting himself up to become mayor. So these things can be very, very, very important, very decisive.
They can. People can punch through and really connect with voters.
And these guys have been together before in other forums. I think there have been two or three other ones before this one, but this will be the first televised one. But, you know, you talk
about McCarthy
will
be there, too.
Yeah, McCarthy will be there.
Lori Lightfoot?
Yes, correct. Yeah. But you talk about the impact, and now with social media and all this stuff getting on different platforms, I wonder what kind of impact broadcasting on live TV will have. So we'll see tonight.
That's what they want to talk to you about, back in the office. Turn back around there, Lourdes. They need you back in the office. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lourdes.
Bye.
We'll
have fun tonight.
See you later.
Bye. All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon with WGN News, being brought to you by TimeshareExitTeam.com. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes, right here on 720 WGN. And did I mention that we're going to take you down to the border here in just a moment? Jim Ryan from ABC News is down in McAllen, Texas, where the president was today. The president wearing a white Make America Great Again hat. Mm-hmm. That's a campaign hat that he's wearing as he's on official presidential business. Or is this a campaign event?
He doesn't present it as a campaign event.
I know that the White House Ethics Office is closed for repainting.
Maybe that's part of the shutdown. Yeah, the first one they shut down.
Right. Well,
the ethics office.
I believe they actually shut it down in January of 2017. So it's really not an issue. But they have the government ethics office. I think there's a rule about that. And then he has to charge if he's wearing that hat. Air Force One isn't free.
Hmm.
That's an interesting problem.
That is interesting.
I know. Why? Why is he? Just put on the presidential seal hat. Not like wah, seal, like a seal. You know, it's got the seal
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm. I know what
he's wearing the
about.
It's weird. He's wearing this big, sort of ill-fitting windbreaker with a white formal shirt and then the white hat. And he keeps the hat on, sort of pulled down as far as he possibly can. And so you never see his eyes when he's in these meetings. He wears it inside because he knows, and this is true, he knows that his hair is going to get all jacked up if he takes the hat off. Like most people, you know, his hair, that can happen, right?
True.
But his especially because there's a lot of, and he'll admit this, I mean, he tells you this, that, you know, he's got a lot of product and stuff in there, making that sort of stay.
Making that stay where it is because it's sort of long on the top. Well, he's canceling.
Well, that's nice of you to say. That's a nice way to put a comb over.
Those are long pieces of hair that need to stay in place, or it's going to be embarrassing. He's canceling his trip to Davos, Switzerland, the World Economic Forum, and that was the last
Democrats.
Thing he really tweeted about today, saying that going to have to go to the border, and this is more important.
Right,
so, and everything stops.
That the Chinese president is more honorable than the Democrats. Like when he makes comparisons like that, you know, like what? Jim Ryan is down on the border where all of this is taking place for ABC News. Jim, thanks very much for joining us. How's he been received?
Well, I mean, it was a fairly closed audience here. There were protests that were happening out on the street in front of the airport. A couple hundred people in favor of the president and the wall, a couple hundred people on the other side of the street opposed to the president and the wall. So, you know, that public display, I suppose, was one way to gauge how he received here. But in the closed meeting, the roundtable discussion with Border Patrol agents and Border Patrol union leadership, he was well received. Those people have generally supported the president and his call for a physical barrier between the two countries. The president also has had a look at the border itself, at the Rio Grande, gone out and taken a little tour and had a look around. So, I mean, yeah, I think he was received about as you would expect him to be received.
Okay. Doesn't seem like there's been much movement in terms of where the Democrats stand and where the president and the White House stand and Republicans stand in terms of coming together at all. At least the messaging we've received shows that there really has been no movement whatsoever. And it seems as if that emergency, you know, calling that emergency declaration that the president is threatened, did he address that today? Is it getting closer to him saying he may need to do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he certainly holds that open as an option, and he said so before he left Washington. There on the south lawn of the White House, he talked about that and said that it's his right to do so. And, you know, there was some speculation that he might do it while he was here in McAllen because he brought the White House counsel with him down here, along with the two senators from Texas. They'll hold separate roundtable discussions. But so far, he hasn't yet. He hasn't taken that step, that dramatic step of declaring a national emergency in order to create funding for this border wall. Says he still wants to do it with the Democrats, but, you know, calling them worse than the Chinese or more difficult to deal with than the Chinese doesn't seem to be warming up the room much.
Less honorable.
Thank you.
I can almost see politically in America somebody saying, well, you know, it's they're more difficult to deal with is one thing, but saying less honorable is a whole other world. I mean, they're stealing our secrets over in China. I mean, it's. I mean, right. You know, they're, I mean, literally, they're murder. They're, you know, they're ripping children away from their parents and putting a single bullet, and then sending a bill for the bullet to the families. I'd say right. that's honorable is really not the way that this thing goes over in China, as much as these are other Americans here. But he doesn't really behave like that. What, you know, what's interesting? I mentioned this. And now it's starting to sink into me.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. He is wearing a political hat. And is this technically a presidential visit or a campaign visit?
That's an interesting point. And I think, you know, the Donald J. Trump for President website and campaign is up and running and alive and well. And I think this does kind of cross into that boundary of not an official visit necessarily, but a campaign visit. So, and in fact, there may be a split, the campaign paying for part of it and,
right.
and the federal government, the taxpayers picking up the rest of the bill. But that's a good point. I need to find out who paid for this.
Jim, I want you to run that down. I'm going to be your news director right now. I want you to run that down for me. Andrew Kalb this for you. All right, you need to run that down for me and make sure that we find out who that is, because it might be a split. That would be probably a fair thing to do since he's wearing the hat. But if he's not, this is purely U.S. government paying for a campaign stop, well, then I'm afraid we're going to have to file some paperwork on this. I'm glad he's got his lawyer with him.
It's all about the optics. Whoa.
Don't I know it, Jim? Don't I know it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Jim Ryan down at the border with the president. Thank you, sir. I don't know how I feel.
President will be on Hannity tonight from the border
to explain
everything. I bet he'll be wearing the white hat for that interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, the union, the Border Patrol agent union, I mean, obviously they love the idea of this because there'll be more jobs. And I think ultimately there will be there has to be an increased, with all of this talk, I think Democrats can't tear down some of the wall and then take, you know, and put on the Border Patrol agents on furlough and stuff like that. I think there's going to be increased security at some point, right? They're going to do something. Mm-hmm. They're going to finish the extension of stuff. There has been no new wall planned or built that based on Donald Trump yet. It was all already in the works under, I know it's hard to believe, Barack Obama, that they were already refurbishing and building some of the wall, because they were taking down some of the older wall and putting up this steel slat stuff that you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there, right? So that has already been in the works. So when you see that, you think, well, maybe they could extend some of that, put it in other places, but it'll really be up to the folks. You want to give them more money and have them figure out what to do, or you just want to say, this is my wall and I'm going to put my logo on it. Maybe it should have it from space. It spells out, make America great again.
Did you see the video today of the slats and how easy they were to cut through? The slats that they proposed, there's actually pictures of how easy you could cut through them.
Well, then you'll have to replace them, so that's even better for the
more
people
jobs.
Building them.
Right, exactly. Right. The unions love this. All right. Where's your backhaul? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
The president was asked exactly about this.
What good is a steel wall if they can saw through it?
Well, that's a wall that was designed by previous administrations.
Oh, there you go.
There's nothing that can't be penetrated, but you fix it. But it's a very difficult thing to do. But that's a wall, and they have other walls. We have many walls under consideration. Even concrete. There's acid that can go through concrete. But what you do is you fix it.
I'm so glad. The acid reference was to acid going through concrete, because I swear to God, I thought he was going to make an acid wall. All right, here's what we do. It's a moat around the wall filled with acid, and when you go in with your babies, you turn in to skeletons.
Terrible. Terrible.
That would get really Game of Thrones. With that green stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, very, very bad. Here's here he is talking about Chuck and Nancy.
The economy is incredible. We're negotiating and having tremendous success with China. And I find China, frankly, in many ways, to be far more honorable than Brian, Chuck, and Nancy. I really do. I think that China is actually much easier to deal with than the opposition party.
Yeah, I think it, actually the way he just said it the second time, that's not true in his life's experience.
Jeez.
But okay, fine. All right, can we check in now with Kim, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour?
And as we've been talking about, President Trump heads to the border.
Mike Monaco is joining us by way of telephonic device. He's our legal analyst, and he's one of the most important attorneys on the planet Earth.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you,
sir. Happy New
Year,
Mike.
Happy New Year, Anna. How are you, darling? Everything good?
All's good, yes.
Wonderful.
The president is down on the southern border. He brought his lawyer with him. That's good for the legal community, isn't it?
I remember the time when it was newsworthy that a criminal defense lawyer went to the White House when Nixon was president.
Ah,
of course, now there have been plenty of criminal defense lawyers at the White House.
Has his own. There's a wing of it. There's like a.
It's a wing of it.
That's all there is. It's right. It's running hot and cold, running lawyers over the White House.
This is going to be very, very much a memory of when John Dean testified about Nixon.
All right. Well, this is what we called about, which is the news for those who have not heard it yet, that Michael Cohen, the president's so-called fixer and a guy who took a bullet for the president, is going to testify before the House of Representatives on February 7th.
Yeah, that's Congressman Elijah Cummings' Committee on Oversight and Reform.
Mm-hmm.
And there he's trying to go into all of this information. Now, what's interesting is normally, if you're a prosecutor, you don't want your witnesses giving unnecessary statements. But Congressman Cummings says that he has spoken to Mueller's office and has gotten their approval, apparently, to have Cohen testify.
So would this be mostly about the payoffs that he handled to Stormy Daniels and others? Because it sounds like the Russia stuff would have to be more in a closed-door setting.
That, I think you're exactly right, since he has not pled guilty to the Russian stuff yet. So I think it will be mostly regarding what he pled guilty to in the Southern District of New York, which was lying to Congress and tax problems and involving campaign finance fraud, all of which he said was related to the president.
Right. Now, the problem with that, though, is that it seems like that whole portfolio of acts, bucket, as they like to say now, on Wall Street and Capitol Hill, that bucket of acts is not enough. That's not the kind of stuff that America wants to topple a presidency over.
Well, it's going to be related to Russia. It's got to be related to Russia. We know Russia's involved in hacking. We know Russia's involved in so many ways in the election itself. Yesterday we learned that, or this week we learned that Manafort was giving Russia information about the campaign. This, what Mr. Cohen.
No, wait, hold on. I want to explain. I want to put in context why that's important. It's not just campaign information. Like, hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Right.
Goodbye, Vlad.
It's
more like, here's where we need help. Here's
right.
where we. This is where we're doing well. These are the issues that are working well for us.
Exactly.
That could be the sort of detail that Kalimnik, who is the guy who's giving it to, the Russian who's giving it to, who has ties to the intelligence services, could then be...
Yeah, the Russian intelligence services.
Right, yes, not ours,
yeah,
theirs.
Yeah.
Be handing off to the Internet
right.
Research Group, which were the people who were setting up these the social media wars that they
right,
were setting.
Sending false information out there and targeting specific people, specific voters.
Targeting
whites in the South, targeting everybody. It's amazing how sophisticated the Russians were in doing this.
Specifically, we learned this week that part of what the IRG was doing was targeting voters in Wisconsin. And
right.
the question is, did Manafort's polling that he was sharing have something to do with that, because that's the kind of polling that they would be looking at too. They'd be looking at regional, because that gets to the very heart of it. You need to win electoral votes in electoral states, right?
Right.
In states. So that's the whole point of if IRG is really helping. That's really the calling of the fire. That's the collusion that they'd be looking for. Now,
right.
The president today was asked about this before he was getting on Air Force One with his hat on, with his white hat on.
Yeah, it's a lovely hat.
Make America Great Again. I think you should wear that on the golf
course. I should wear a hat like that, yes.
You look good in that.
When you play down in Florida, though, everybody agrees with you.
Exactly. That's true.
The thing is, he said, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, well.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
He also said he didn't know that Cohen was doing this. See, this is why it's connected. The Cohen thing, it happened right after October 7th. October 7th was when the Billy Bush tape went out. About the
grabbing of the, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And this is 2 weeks before the election that he cuts a deal with Stormy Daniels, and he knows that the president himself cut a deal with David Pecker of AMI to silence the other woman. So it's completely connected. Everything is connected to winning the election.
I will also point out that David Pecker,
pardon your expression,
is that's his name, not a value judgment.
Yeah,
he's going after Jeff Bezos pretty hard. Who apparently was having an affair, sort of a short lasting affair, but one that seems to be ruinous to the marriage of both Mr. Bezos, who's going to have to share his $140 billion, and to
I could be convinced to go into divorce law.
Yeah, by that. But the point is, I find it just really interesting that this is, that they're going, the National Enquirer is going so hard after Jeff Bezos, who is a named enemy of the president.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, the whole thing is connected. This is what's so, it's going to be so interesting about it if we ever see Mueller's report, which I'm sure we're going to see sometime soon.
All right. Wait, before we... I got 30 seconds here.
And what is it?
That means 10 seconds to you. Is the extension of the grand jury by Mueller for 6 months, does that mean that he's got... it's be at least 6 months before we see anything? Or does he just have to
It may mean that, yes. I mean, it means that he's going to be busy for six more months, and it's approved by the judge, and we'll see how long it takes. It may not be 6 months, certainly he's full with 6 months.
Right.
And by the way,
thank you very much. Gotta go. Thank you, Mike Monaco.
30 seconds is an hour and a half.
No, it's not. I gotta go. Bye. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Bob Fioretti has jumped into the studio. Mm-hmm. He's part of our Lazy Susan of candidates that we are having on this week, of mayoral candidates. And Lazy Susan, of course, was my nickname in high school.
Yes. Yeah.
We're
swinging the plate.
Not that any of them are lazy, because they're all running like crazy right now in this campaign season.
But, and as is former Alderman Fioretti, who is mm-hmm. who's going to the big forum tonight, the Channel 9's throwing at 7 o'clock up on the Northwest Side, 36th Ward. But he's doing a fundraiser at one of my favorite restaurants in Chicago in between.
At Jade Court.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My favorite restaurant, too.
Jade Court is the best Chinese restaurant
so good.
In North America.
It was so good that you wouldn't even mention its name for the longest time, because
right.
you didn't want anybody to go there.
That's
and then
true.
We finally got it out of you.
Yeah.
It is good.
Phil Vitale then wrote a story about calling it the best Chinese restaurant in Chicago. So anyway, I may just join you at your fundraiser, even though I technically can't attend a fundraiser. I'm just going to go and pick up
and sit in the other room.
The duck fried rice.
Yes.
Look out.
The
All
crab
right.
is great, too.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
We should talk about that.
There.
All right, you got my vote already, Bob, because we agree on this. All right, tonight is this forum. It's very interesting. Toni Perkwinkle just announced she will not be attending this forum. She has now a conflict that has popped up. And this, after the controversy today, she released an ad. Let's play a little bit of it for you. She released an ad in which she takes credit for the revealing of the police forensics data surrounding the death of Laquan McDonald.
16 shots, 9 in the back.
Facts that the police and city officials tried to bury. Facts that Tony Preckwinkle brought to light. It was Tony who made sure Laquan McDonald's autopsy went public. Tony, who called for the dash cam footage to be released. Tony demanded the police chief be fired and helped oust the state's attorney for not doing her job. Tony Preckwinkle, a mayor who does what's right.
Okay.
What do you think?
A whole raft of credit being taken there. What do you think about that?
Absolutely incredulous, her whole ad. I asked for her to withdraw from the race prior to this, as a matter of fact, and she really should. She's part of a corrupt Democratic machine that continues spewing forth lies, misunderstandings, and falsehoods. I did talk to Will Calloway earlier today, who was the activist who was part of the lawsuit that freed the
Freedom of Information Act
under the Freedom of Information Act, and he was outraged too. And I think the social media is showing that at this point. Tony Preckwinkle never said anything. She was a ROM enabler in two elections, and now she's in this race, and she really ought to examine what she's doing.
Seems like it has backfired on her in a lot of ways. You even have Father Flager and others saying, let's give the credit to the activists, the people who are on the ground making this, putting this out there in the public eye and keeping it there, when it seemed like the whole system in this city was doing everything it could to keep it secret.
Cover it up.
Extended family members, right, who are, and the attorneys that were the ones that were really pushing for that information to get out. So it's always how it goes in this town. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, you know.
Sadly so.
But it is, and this moment, too, I think there are so many issues that really are so important to Chicagoans in this, that playing naked politics is, I think, going to slide under the bridge here a little bit, because people want to know, how are you going to keep the streets safer? What are you going to do about taxes? What are you going to do about? I mean, people are upset about rats,
you
right?
Obviously. And what you just said, because the problem that we're having, one of the other candidates wanted to name the Dan Ryan Expressway, right? Bill Daley was talking about that. I said, I had a press conference at the Daley Center, and I said, we should be naming the Daley Center after Obama. It was a tongue-in-cheek, and it was drawing the attention, because we need to talk about the serious issues, yeah. Crime, education, and the biggest pension fall-off that we're going to see. Whoever is elected mayor from May 15th to September 1st has to find $400 million new dollars to pay into the pension fund. And they better be talking seriously about the issues.
It seems like it's a moment in time, too, where voters, more than I can remember, are demanding accountability. They're demanding reform, and they're not sort of just rolling their eyes and laughing anymore when you hear about government abuse and taxpayer waste and some of these other issues. And the Laquan McDonald part was a big part of that, because I think it was yet another example of the city covering up things that shouldn't have been covered up. And now you have the scrutinizing of an alderman and the workman's comp situation. And so people really want those answers. Are you one of those running for office who thinks that people who are linked to the establishment players in this town should be out of the race altogether, or do they deserve a place in this race as well?
Well, they can have a place in the race, but you know, I was outspoken against both Daley and Rahm. I raised the issues. They actually redistricted me out of my own ward. They moved the second ward up to the north side. They tried to shut me down often. I raise the issues. I mean, what I find ironic is all of a sudden the issues that I've been talking about for the last 10 years, all these reform candidates are now on board, whether it's term limits, whether it's a smaller city council, whether it's dealing with our schools, what we need to do, finding proper education, and dealing with crime in our streets. I am surprised that now they have essentially taken all of my positions and are using them one way or the other.
You were in City Hall for a long time. Are you surprised by
8 years? It was long enough.
That is long enough.
Felt longer.
Yeah.
For you.
But you were there. I mean, and you knew all these players. Are you surprised by the indictment against Ed Burke?
Well, I think people think he was a lot smarter than that. We had a professional relationship. It would have, when I look at the 33 aldermen that have been convicted since 1972, most of them were indicted in their third or fourth term. Term limits would have solved that problem. It's as simple as
that. That was his 40th term, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Even in spite of that, I mean, he was running the Finance Committee without any kind of real oversight. He had a $100 million fund for workmen's compensation that really didn't have to be scrutinized by anybody. I mean, it was kind of an open secret. But, you know, no one ever made a big deal out of it. It sat right there. I don't know of any other municipal, state, or federal government that could do that.
It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. No other municipality has that kind of a relationship. And what I find also a problem with the way our city council operates, and finance was clearly one of them, as a committee when they met, they barely or seldom had quorums. And they just do business anyway. I used to call quorum calls often on committees that I was on when I was the alderman.
So you have to have a certain number of people there. I can't just do it with two guys, which sometimes would happen.
Oh, no,
right?
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Sometimes it wasn't even two guys. It was one guy and another guy taking notes. All right, so you said you got $400 million. You become mayor. Bob Fioretti becomes mayor in February or April, right? Where are you going to find the $400 million you need by September?
Well, first of all, I'm willing to listen to any idea. I'm going to have town hall meetings across the city. I will have ward meetings, just like I had ward night across the city, to listen to ideas. I have talked about a commuter tax for the last 6 years. It would generate a 1% on people who live in Indiana, Wisconsin, and suburbs who work here. It would generate $300 million. I will not raise.
No, what would that commuter tax look like? How much?
It would be 1% on those that.
1% income tax.
It's an income tax. Yes, only on people that live outside the city but work here. Now, I'm not wedded to that idea. I'm willing to listen to anything. We can do video gaming. That would generate $70 million here, and we'd have to lift the band, and that's it. It would generate $70 million. If I can't find $30 million in the budget, something's wrong. We have a $10.2 billion budget, and
that's $70 million plus $30 million. That's $100 million. You're still $300
and
short.
And a commuter tax would generate $300 million. And at the same time, if we have to, or before we get to the commuter tax, we'd have to squeeze our TIFs. We got $1.5 billion in there. Let's see what we can do to bring it over to the city. And
now, how do you do that? What is the mechanism by doing that?
We can declare a surplus. Now, the problem with a surplus, let's say we have the city only gets a little bit over 10% of that amount of the surplus, and the rest go to all the other governmental agencies at that time. So it's not. Surpluses benefit all the other groups, but we should be using TIFs not for the developers. We should be using it for infrastructure repairs, sidewalks, streets, new lighting throughout the city. That's what the original purpose of TIFs were for, and not for helping developers.
Several candidates calling on to reduce the number of aldermen. They said too many aldermen, and I know you've actually criticized the ward-by-ward system where the services are awarded, that you say that maybe there's some savings that could be brought from that, and the system isn't exactly working efficiently.
Well, I've always been in favor of a smaller city council. In fact, the last time we had the remap, I and Scott Wagesback introduced a map that called for 35 aldermen, because we thought at that time there was enough of a shift that we could have had it done. We were one vote short of everything, and so we couldn't get it through. But it showed that the temperature of the city council even then wanted to have a smaller city council. We need to take away the aldermanic prerogative. That's what led to the Burke problem.
And we should explain what that is, too, because mm-hmm. I think Chicagoans and people listening who don't live in the city of Chicago.
Right.
There's, you know, millions of those listening. I think they'd be shocked to learn that an alderman in the city of Chicago has ultimate authority in his ward or her ward. They are able to decide whether a business can open in the ward, whether a building can be built, a house can be built, a house can be rehabbed, all of those kinds of things.
And I have no idea.
And it's a one-on-one thing. right?
Yes, it is. And the problem is, and I've said that before, you know, you can we take away that it invites corruption, period. It invites people who don't support candidates or the incumbent to give money to his or her fundraiser because they think they have to do it.
Right.
I have walked through the downtown area and have met and been at restaurants here that they're not getting something through. And they ask me, should I give the alderman a contribution? I say, no. Sit there and wait until he or she signs off on the document allowing you an outdoor cafe.
Right.
Or
then, give it to him. I mean, but that's the way it goes.
That's the question you ask.
Right. It's not like it, and it just, it opens itself to it. And, you know, a lot of these guys be coy about it. Go, oh, don't worry about it. That's totally separate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to support me, but I'm going to support you.
And
right, what does that sentence end with?
Right, and especially in this area, in the downtown area, the developing areas, I, in my first year in office, gave back over $100,000 to developers because I refused to take developer money during my 8 years in office. And you can imagine $100,000 in the first year, you can keep adding it up and see what it would have been.
Now, what do you get to do with that money once it's all over, like with your campaign fund?
Well, my campaign fund, because, you know, other campaign funds, I'm not sure what they do. But if they want to close a campaign under the current law, it would have to go to something very similar, a similar organization. So people keep their campaign money.
So the, like, you'd have to give it to another campaign.
Yes.
Right. Or a charity, I think.
Yes.
Right?
A charity is also on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if they keep their campaign fund up and going, I mean, can they repaint their house?
No. They did change the law, so it really can't personally benefit you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they say.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So,
how's your health, I should ask you?
My health is good. You know, I had a bad bout with the cancer. I lost 50 pounds. I had a feeding tube for 8.5 months. I had a few operations after that, a lot of chemo, a lot of radiation. I put the weight back on, exercising every day. I'm
good
feeling good. I can take on the battle. But what it has driven me also, in light of a lot of the organizations I support, I chair support groups of people that have cancer. I talk to people on a daily basis who call me from all parts of the country with various types of cancer. If I can't deal with them, I send them to other professionals who can help them deal with the issue, because it is sometimes it was a tough fight. I always remember my doctor. I said to him, man, you did not tell me how tough it was. And he said to me, you know, if I would have told you, you would never have done it.
Yeah, it's day by day.
Okay. Wow. That is compelling.
It is.
Bob, thank you very much for being with
us.
Good
Bob.
Luck out there on the campaign trail. We'll see you tonight on the Channel 9 forum. And
at Jade Restaurant sometime.
And Jade Court. I'm telling you, it's just the best, but we should not mention it anymore. Just he mentioned
stop,
it. It's the only time. That's it. We're done.
It's so good.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Row two candidates in the race to defeat Alderman Ed Burke teaming up to avoid a runoff.
Traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Coming up, that Goose Island kick a 43-yard field goal and get beer for a year.
Yep, caught a lot of people's attention.
Back on. Not that it was ever really off.
They just needed some rules and guidelines, some parameters.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the rules, and Kevin is going to practice.
Kevin will represent us.
Right. Kevin says he's, of all of us, he's the one most likely to be able to hit it. I kind of think Brian, our technical
I would say
genius.
Brian.
Oh, and probably Brian.
Yeah.
Now I have doubts.
But you seem to think that you might be able to do it, so we're gonna limber you up.
I'm just hearing free beer, free beer, free beer. So I'm convincing myself I know how to kick a football.
Great motivation. Sometimes that's all it takes.
What muscle do you have to stretch? Like the hammy or?
Oh yeah, the hammy for sure.
Yeah. So
you might want to get
that
the calf.
Thing?
You want to get the calf, and you want to get your buttocks also sort of.
Oh, do we have a
nice
football?
Maximus.
We got a pigskin.
Yes, and then also and your groin. You got to get your groin all kind of.
You don't want to injure that.
I think you might want to do some yoga with me to get ready.
All right, whatever works. Free beer. That's the only thing on my mind right now.
Have you ever kicked a
competition, Kevin? My son's going too.
Oh,
are you a sidewinder? You gonna go soccer style?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm not going. I'm not gonna go flat-toed. No.
Now you could do that.
I could try that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that instead.
Have you ever done it before? Like,
I mean, in practice, is goofing around.
Okay. You know, what we could do is, you know, in the 1970s, the guy who set the record for the longest field goal,
who had a club foot,
had half a foot, and he wore
his
wore
foot
a
was
shoe,
like a sledgehammer.
Right, he wore a shoe that had a flat front, and he, just, you know, now he did lose the foot in battle in service of the United States of America, so we can't make fun of that.
No,
but what we can say though is that if you're willing to do it, we'll cut off half your foot.
All right,
I think it's almost worth it for beer for a year.
I'm in.
All right.
Get the saw.
Here we've got Kim Gordon standing by the Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic as her sponsor for the news.
Hope.
Pro Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
I'm so excited for this segment.
All right. We're going to figure out how to make Kevin Powell the winner of this Goose Island deal. But we just learned something a little shocking. Zach Connolly is with us. He's the senior manager of experiential marketing. I don't know.
That sounds like a cool job.
That sounds like, hey, want a drink? That's what that sounds like to me.
I'm the experiential marketing guy?
Oh, yeah. We're cracking beers?
Did you hear what happened right there?
It is a cool job.
Yeah. That is a very, but he's drinking his own beer. Now, here's, but I think this is the problem.
He loves it.
What we just learned is that now when you kick this 43-yard field goal, you're not getting beer for a year.
What?
This is true.
What?
But we've got something better up our sleeves.
Whoa.
All right. Okay. So why can't we do beer for a year?
The short of it is we got a call from the state of Illinois, and they said, hey, you can't technically do that. And we said, okay, sounds good. We got something else then.
You can't do free beer.
That's correct.
How can you not do, like if you go to a bar and you buy a pretty girl a beer, are you breaking state law? What is happening?
No,
there?
But didn't all those rules change? Like buy one get one free. You can't do that kind of thing, or you
the
can't
beer?
Do.
Yeah, there's
happy
a lot.
Hour
there's
rules.
A lot of legalities. A lot of legalities.
Turns
but
out
I'm just an
too
event
many.
Guy, so
like, who cares?
I don't know. He's not a lawyer, but they got lawyers. They, apparently, the lawyers over at Goose Island, they're worried about things. Unlike maybe at the White House, where they're like, yeah, go ahead, go for it. We'll figure it out later. I don't.
It's all fair game.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All right. So what's better? What are we going to get?
Yeah. How does it get better?
So here's the deal. If you come, you kick a 43-yarder and you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You pick which game, 2019 regular season NFL you want to go to. We're flying you there. We're buying you tickets. We're putting you up in a hotel. You and a guest.
And you pay for your own beer.
Well,
who knows?
Zach, I love
touching this. It. I'm scared, you know.
Love this.
I know. Zach, right, exactly.
Don't tell the lawyers, they don't know.
Can you imagine the screaming and yelling that they did at Zach before he went out and talked to media today about what he can and cannot say? And this dude's like, all I want to do is crack some beers and talk to some
people.
Enjoy
themselves.
Right.
Right.
What's going on here?
Why don't you guys have beers anyways?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we can have one for free now because of this whole thing. I don't know how I feel about it.
It feels dangerous suddenly.
I know. All of a sudden it's state law. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So let's say you want to go. Obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of Bears fans out there. So Bears are going to be, you know, Tampa or somewhere next season that's going to be warm. That's probably going to be the one. How many are you expecting to come out to this? Do we have any idea?
I don't think we really have any idea. I think we've had a couple thousand people interested in coming out. So we'll see.
Have they been registering?
There's no spot to register, so it's a first come, first serve situation.
Okay, now this, I can tell that this thing really was done by tweet. This is exactly what goes on. They're like, okay, what are we doing? Here's a good idea. We're going to do this. All right, so let's say, and are you closing off the street?
Yes, right out in front of the Fulton Street Brewery.
So is it first person to make the kick? Because what if multiple people make the kick?
If multiple people make the kick, there's multiple people going to NFL games
next
year.
Now, what if like a Robbie Gould shows up in disguise or something? Are you going to weed those guys out? You know, like, wait a minute, I know that one. Are you going to look for that?
I don't know if he would actually be able to kick because I got a feeling there's a bunch of Bears fans that probably put him up on their shoulders and carry him around. So
That's true.
He would get a lot of attention.
Yeah. If George McCaskey has a hair on his keister, he will show up with a contract and Robbie Gould at this event and sign him right in front of you.
Would not be surprised.
Yeah, that would be a good good moment right there.
Yeah. Could be huge.
All right. So now when it is the goalposts, where are you getting the goalposts?
We made them.
Are they regulation?
They are indeed regulation.
This is like True Romance. He's like the Brad Pitt character in True Romance. Like sitting there, hey, want to get a pizza?
Dude.
Get a pizza. What? All right. You made the goalposts. Out of what?
PVC.
PVC. Yeah. Like, okay.
Is it official size of an NFL post?
Indeed, yes.
Wow. Will there be a prize given if you hit the post? Because that's hard to do.
Not really.
You'll have to show, show up to find out.
If Cody Parkey shows up with a gigantic mustache on, says, I want to do that post thing. Am I allowed to do that? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so PVC is not going to make that noise. Is it on Fulton? Is it actually in the middle of the street, or did you put it in a parking lot? Where is it?
Yeah, so it's going to be right on Fulton Street, Fulton and Wood.
The goalposts.
Yep.
This is a good visual right here. Did you paint it yellow? So it looks like a, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't scrimp.
Yeah. Okay. Pardon me for asking. Have you heard the rest of this interview? All right. So you're putting it out there and 43 yards. So you're like a block, kind of, right? Like half a block.
43 yards.
Yeah, well, supposedly it's really, really easy. You know, there's a lot of armchair kickers out there that think they can do it.
Well, that's what you're going to get. A bunch of guys who, like, kicked in high school or something. Like, yep, I can still do it.
Don't worry about
it. No problem.
Would
have went pro if I didn't blow my knee.
And what is the...
130
feet. 130
feet,
right? So it's, you know, like the length of... It's 130 feet plus, what is it, 10 feet, right? What's the crossbar?
The angle there.
What is that, Kev? Do we
know?
I don't know the
official dimensions.
How high the thing is?
Yeah, I think it's just 43
total.
It's 43 yards total. Yeah, so it's like 129 feet. I think.
Yeah,
I think they count that 43. I think they take into consideration.
But you got to make a field goal though. It's got to go over the crossbar.
True.
Yeah.
So it can't just be.
The crossbar is 10 feet high, and the width is 18 feet.
Right. So 10 feet. So you got to go 43 yards, and it's got to cross that crossbar at the height of 10 feet.
Right.
Right? So that's really much closer to like a. I mean, I think at very minimum, it's like a 46, 47-yard field goal.
Probably something like that,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a distance on the ball, you know, depending on launch angle. I'll ask Manny Machado about that when he gets here.
Will there be a training staff for all the, you know, former high school football players who haven't worked out in like a decade they're blowing out their hammies?
Yeah.
Well, the weather is going to be beautiful. It's supposed to snow. It's going to be cold.
Oh, even better.
Bears weather.
Yeah. Bear weather.
You know what? We need the training staff from Athletico to be standing there on the sides. Just with nothing but...
Like a sign-up sheet. Here. Yep,
right.
Here we go.
Ace bandages and stuff. Right. Like, just wrap up the hammies. Wrapping up the hammies here, boss.
Maybe a medical professional or two on top of that.
Right. Maybe as one of those, like, workout places stretching people out before they do it. I like... it's kind of a whole thing going on there. I sort of like it.
A lot of endorsement.
Are they selling beer? Are you going to be selling beer out there?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what I was going to say is I think the key is just to stay really well hydrated.
Because the beer's known for that.
Is someone holding the balls or just one of those temporary kind of holder things they use on the sideline?
Yeah, we have one of those temporary holder. It's not the tee, it's the actual holder.
But it comes on top of it.
It's got to be from the ground level, right? Not elevated like college, but like or they don't even do that anymore in college, do they?
No.
But like they used to do. This is like on a real okay. Now, I think, you know, ultimately, the big question is, what's the surface? Are they going off the street, or are you putting down, like, AstroTurf?
We can't give away all the surprises, can we?
I don't think Zach knows the answer.
He doesn't know.
I think that's
no
the answer.
Clue.
We're just making this entire thing up.
Oh, you kind of are. I noticed that all week.
That's the beauty of it, really.
Because it was like, hey, no, we're doing this. And I go, no, we're not. Yes, we are. No,
sure,
yes, no.
Then the lawyers changed it, and they kept changing it, and I kept reading that it all settled. And this morning when I woke up, it was very different than what you're presenting now, Zach. But it's still going
like
to be fun.
I think it's
going to be a ton
idea.
Of fun.
And Goose Island is a great, one of the great Chicago traditions. And I'm glad you guys jumped into it because it's even more fun doing it this way because it feels very like ad-libbed.
And what I will say about the kicking, we're going to be on a street, so.
You're going to break some windows, for sure.
Possibly, yeah, yeah. And actually, you know, we thought about maybe sweetening the pot a little bit further, too.
Yeah, with what?
So if you make the 43-yarder, you go into a little winner's circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can kick the NFL record 65-yard field goal, what would be the record? We'll take you to the Super Bowl this year. You and a guest. Fly you down there. Take care of you. Put you up.
It sounds to me like if somebody does that, they're going to have to go find out how to do that because I don't think they're counting on that. But
so hard.
65 yards. I mean, it's if a guy can kick a 65 yard. Although, you know, you might have some college guys who show up
for
this.
Yeah, you might. You
or
might.
Or college girls.
Or some soccer players, right? Which is really good.
How many chances do you get, like, if you come up to the ball?
One.
Oh. But what if you miss it the first time? Can you go one more time?
Get back in line.
If you miss it the first time, I think there's going to be a lot of television cameras down there. It's not going to be a good look.
So you can't just keep going is the point.
You don't
like buy to get like a ticket to register in or something like that.
Nah, just one kick.
One kick per person.
One and done.
And we know who you are. They put a big X on your forehead if you don't make it. That's how they do
it. Sharpie.
With a Sharpie. And then it takes three, 4 days for it to come off.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think there's going to be a lot of people who make this kick, just so you know.
You do?
Yes.
I think a lot of people show up, but make the kick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys who were, probably played in high school or even college that are going to come out.
And one you guys shot. Are kind of taunting them that they can't do it.
I'm telling you. You're going to have a handful of people
making
kicks.
I think that gets back to the whole thing of, everybody coming down so hard on Parkey. The guy made the first kick. The second kick was tipped. It was so close to going in. To me, I think it goes in.
Wait, are we making excuses for Cody Parker right now? Is that what we're doing right now?
He missed 11 kicks. He missed 11 kicks the entire season.
He may hit the post 6 times.
Yeah.
He's saying the bullying got a little out of control when it first happened.
Yeah, I don't think Zach needs an interpreter here. I heard what he said.
Well, I...
Zach, did you bring beer? I'm a little bitter right now.
Yeah, I'm drinking beer right now.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a football? Let's start kicking this thing.
I want to get Kev all kind of worked up here.
Oh, geez.
I already am.
Yeah.
Been a mess all week.
Kev's got a little bit of that look right now. Like he's a guy who's been in the league a few too many years, but he's still there. They called him up because
he's a little bitter.
Because the actual field goal kicker got into a car accident or a moped incident or something. And the next thing you know, I was like, all right, well, the team did have to pick up a guy working at Home Depot.
Sure, I can do it.
No problem. I got
there,
this.
Coach.
Disgruntled, angry.
Depressed.
Hold my beer.
Right. You should actually have called this. Hold my beer and watch this. Because that's really...
That is perfect.
That is kind of what this is all about. It's going to be fun.
I think we can rename it.
It's fluid.
It's pretty free-flowing.
Whatever, man.
Whatever, dude.
I love this guy. And I love Goose
Zach,
Island.
You're awesome.
Goose Island's awesome.
I love Goose Island. And you brought the 312. Aren't there some new souped-up 312? What is it?
Yeah, dry hop 312.
Yeah. Whoa. What's that all about?
It's dry hop with a little bit of saaz at the end, so you get just
a little
saaz, which is a hop. So you just get a little bit of hop characteristic rolling off of it, but Dry Hop 312 is a good beer. Next Coast IPA might be my.
All right, so what is it? Though. I saw you bring that in. I haven't seen that anywhere yet.
Yeah,
what's it all about? You might want it. Can you hand me one of those for a second, just so I can see what's happening on the bottom?
To him.
I'm just gonna look at the. I'm gonna look. Get to him. Shut up. All right, so this is an IPA, right? What is this? Yes.
Yeah.
Next Coast Next IPA. Coast, yeah. That's why it says IPA on it. Hold on, I gotta crack it and see what's going on.
You got any Bourbon County that people like kill people for and they line up like 8 hours before the store opens? You got any of that? No? Okay.
If I did, I wouldn't be able to say so either way.
What? Oh my God. They literally, it's like he just got out of the Mueller probe.
I do not recall.
Suddenly, Zach can't say a thing.
Kind of this is not the grand jury, pal.
I
do not recall if I have any Bourbon County.
You spent too much time with lawyers.
Did we talk about the post? If they hit the post, do they get anything?
We may have some special surprises, Dave. We'll see.
Okay. Because I think hitting the post is fluid.
Okay.
Let's continue the narrative, right?
Yeah, I know. I do like this. Yeah, okay.
Sure.
I think right up to this event, right to the moment where people are kicking and they go, does that count? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Oh, you hit the crossbar? That equals like 6 beers, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you hit the bottom one? That equals like 3. A double doink will get you.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine a double doink.
Oh, man.
Someone gets a double doink.
A double doink. If someone has a double doink and if they completely replicate the Cody Parkey, that should be, you give them Cody Parkey's house. That's what it should be here. All right, Next Coast IPA. Yeah, really good. Is this, what's the story behind this?
The story behind it is it's a bigger beer. It's 7% ABV, and it doesn't drink like it. So that's actually the beer I was drinking the night I was watching the game. Mm. And the night I texted my boss and said, wouldn't it be funny if...
So this is really your fault. And this is really the fault of Next Coast IPA, is what you're saying.
No, great ideas come to your mind when you drink this beer.
There's no idea how many ingenious businesses I have started while drunk.
And then do you record it and remember it the
next day?
Only
to wake up the next day and go, God, that was a stupid idea. I've done a lot of things where the next day I'm like,
What was I thinking there?
Did I really want to do that? Where am I? All right, Zach, thank you very much. Zach Connolly, Senior Manager of Experiential Marketing at Goose Island. What time does it start on Saturday?
First kick, 1 p.m.
And
how long does it go for?
Yeah.
We'll see. It's going to go till probably around 3, I would guess.
But how do you have to show up and you literally just get in line? There's no pre-registration.
There's no pre-registration, so it is first come, first serve, and it's a limited amount of people.
Wait, do you have to be 21 or older to kick?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so that we're checking.
Even though beer is not part of the deal anymore. sort of technically. What is the there's a limited number. Don't you have to legally say how many number you're limited to? I think you do, unless you're going to ticket it.
Not in his book.
Hate to be a lawyer now, but I mean, is it?
He's got enough.
Wait, listen, it's going to be a fun event.
If 200 people show up, I mean, could you get 200 people in? How long does it take to kick the ball? I mean, everybody's going to get a shot. It's probably a minute each.
Are we kicking official NFL balls too?
Yes, official NFL balls. And we don't run a whole lot of field goal kicking competitions, so I don't know how long it's going to take.
No, I can tell. Don't worry. I got you.
Also, how
inflated are the balls?
No.
Hey.
But I feel like we took the fun out of this whole event by asking him all these questions.
Violetta hates questions.
No, I mean, this is going to be a good event. Let's see how it all pans out.
Go drink
out.
Beers and kick football.
I appreciate the support.
I like the way you two, I think you two are, I think you should go on a date tonight. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Zach. Thank you. It's going to be great.
Zach.
Have fun.
Awesome.
So if people want to come out, it's at Fulton and...
Fulton and Wood, 1800 West Fulton Street.
Right 1800 West Fulton.
And over there by Ashland.
Right over by the old Goose Island.
Right over there.
Go get some balls.
Yeah.
Come see us. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for being here. Zach. Appreciate it. And thanks to Goose Island for everything they've done for Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Great
Pretty amazing
stuff.
Company. All right. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour news.
Ro, we haven't seen it for a while, but snow's back in the forecast.
Oh, boy.
Kim Gordon is preparing her news in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom for preparation at the top of the hour. You'll be hearing that coming up in about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Kev, I don't know. Out in the snow, can you kick a 43-yard field?
I thrive in bare weather.
I just want to throw something at you here. It's 43 yards. You're kicking over off of asphalt, and they're going to have some things up there, too, that would simulate a line. Right, like a defensive line. I think now I'm thinking maybe nobody does make this, especially in the weather. It's going to be slick.
Someone will make it. Book it. I'm telling you, someone's going to make this kick.
And then right at that moment, that's why they're saying any game you want to go to, because they have no idea either.
Right. Right. Well, we really mean it's just preseason.
Wait a second. What if Cody Parkey shows up?
Then he'll miss and hit the post.
He could redeem himself and get free beer in the process. It'll be
no,
great.
There's no free beer.
No free beer.
Were you not listening to this interview?
Not in full.
No, apparently. I wasn't really all that interested.
She's like, what's with all these questions in this interview on the radio? Why are you guys asking questions?
You guys were attacking him.
we were not. Information.
All right, we got to go. We got the news at 2. RoCon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
The FDA says next week it's going to start inspecting riskier foods, even though the shutdown has stopped them from inspecting a lot of foods. They will start inspecting cheese, infant formula, and some produce next week.
I like living life on the edge.
Yeah.
Wait, are they letting this stuff get through without inspecting it? I thought they were just stopping that stuff. It just has to sit and wait.
No, I think that's probably true, but they want to start getting some of that through. You can't go without infant formula.
But when they said riskier foods,
riskiest foods are expected to resume next week. That inspection process.
See, what that sounds like to me is
just
letting everything through, and they thought, well, you know what, we probably should do is we'll just start with the riskiest stuff first and see where we get.
Like what? Like chicken?
Sounds dangerous.
Meat.
Well, we learned yesterday it's the surface of all of those things.
So just cut the outside of your steak off.
Right.
And then cook it.
And then cook it, yeah.
I don't trust myself enough.
Just throw it in a hot pan, it'll be fine.
Right.
Boil everything.
If you sear it, you're good.
Yeah.
That's the idea with the steak. We just got to eat steak now for the rest of the week.
Just spray some Lysol in the kitchen.
Good luck to America. I like this. It's like 1906 all over again. They're just going to, whatever is coming in off the farm, they go, oh, go ahead, send it out.
Looks good to me.
Smells okay.
I don't see any bacteria here. Do you?
Wait, I just want to know, is it infant formula not being investigated now as it's going?
I no,
don't think they're letting it out. But I think they just want to continue moving that through. So they're going to bring the people into the facilities who
But why is cheese important?
Because you can have stuff on your cheese, you know?
I know, but the point is, why? I mean, if you're
well, how could you live without brie for a week, Ro? You of all people.
That's an excellent point. But I was, but I'm
cheese is important. It's how a lot of kids get their nutrition, probably. Their dairy. I don't know. That's one of the things listed on the riskiest foods.
But can we eat romaine lettuce?
I just think we have to take romaine off the shelf forever.
Romaine's back.
Yeah, it's back. Romaine's back.
Oh, until, lettuce is back?
Yeah, for like 3 weeks until they have another one. They go, wait, I don't know what's going on here.
Come back of the year, romaine lettuce.
I know. And the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. Can we do this now?
Let's
Shall we
do this?
All right.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. Checking in at...
Number five.
All right, let's start locally here. Tony Preckwinkle has released a campaign ad that have a lot of people really, really, really fired up. You know, she's been dragged into the federal corruption scandal around Ed Burke.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conversation needs to change. So she's wrapping herself around the issue of the cover-up of the Laquan McDonald shooting.
16 shots, 9 in the back. Facts that the police and city officials tried to bury. Facts that Tony Preckwinkle brought to light. It was Tony who made sure Laquan McDonald's autopsy went public. Tony, who called for the dash cam footage to be released. Tony demanded the police chief be fired and helped oust the state's attorney for not doing her job. Tony Preckwinkle, a mayor who does what's right.
Really?
It's a $750,000 ad buy, so she's putting, you know, this is an important message for her. But it's been called out by a lot of people who say, well, look, it was the whistleblowers, it was the journalists, it was the people who FOIA'd this kind of thing and kept pushing the city to release that video that should really get the credit for all of this.
That's a lot of credit taking. That's a lot of victory lapping on something that we had not really identified her as the center of. And I mean, we, the people who covered that story since
pretty
it broke.
Ultimately, right.
I was never thinking, well, you know, Tony Preckwinkle was behind this. I mean, she was behind Kim Fox running for state's attorney, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's about where it ended. Right? I mean,
it seems so. I mean, she did, apparently she tipped off the autopsy results, is what she's saying, to Jamie Calvin, one of the people who exposed this. But it's where it began and ended.
Here's Tony Preckwinkle telling me to go pound sand.
Gary McCarthy said that you're inflating your role in this whole thing to change the subject from the Burke controversy and the fact that the $10,000 contribution that he muscled for you.
I stand by the role that I played to bring the cover-up to light.
She's so warm, isn't she? It's sort of like, okay, stop yelling. All right, checking in at
number four.
While speaking with reporters outside the White House, the president denies reports and stories of him slamming a table during his meeting with the Democrats earlier this week. Chuck Schumer accused the president of having a temper tantrum.
Well, the news incorrectly reported because I said, well, if we go back and everything's peachy-dory and you say we'll talk over 30 days, at the end of 30 days, are you going to give us great border security, which includes a wall or a steel barrier? She said, no. I didn't pound on tables. I didn't raise my voice. That was a lie. What you should do is give them Pinocchio.
Okay.
It's that Marine One interview he loves to get.
They actually now just have a staffer sit back there and make that noise with their mouth.
You can sort of hear, but you can't hear everything.
If you ask Mike Pence and you ask Kevin McCarthy, you ask anybody in the room, they will say, because I know if I do that, you're going to report it. But you guys report it anyway because you're fake news. But let me just tell you something. I very calmly said, if you're not going to give us strong borders, bye-bye. And I left.
Kevin McCarthy and Mike Pence, the bobbleheads that were standing next to him last week, or earlier this week. It's Thursday already. I mean, okay. You know, ask them. Like, has Mike Pence said a word? Has he used an action verb in the last 2 years? No.
He was asked about that meeting, and of course he backed up the president's account.
Of course.
But did say that, look, we didn't get anywhere. As soon as the wall was mentioned, and they said no, it was a meeting that we all considered to be over.
Okay. All right. Kind of done with this. He's going to do the whole, this is how this is going to end. Before the end of the show, I think he's going to invoke the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go immediately to the courts. It's going to take the courts weeks to figure this out. And somewhere right around the time that Michael Cohen is getting up on the stage over at the House of Representatives to give his testimony, it's going to come down about this.
Probably true, but you wonder how much Republican support he will lose if he does choose to go that route.
Well, he's already said that Mexico's paid for it. He already said Mexico's paid for it, and of course he didn't mean that Mexico was actually going to write a check for it. But, you know, they're paying for it with the Uskamamakakaka.
The new NAFTA.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what he said about that.
I know the fake news likes to say it. When, during the campaign, I would say Mexico's going to pay for it. Obviously, I never said this, and I never meant they're going to write out a check. I said they're going to pay for it. They are. They are paying for it with the incredible deal we made called the United States, Mexico, and Canada, USMCA deal.
Mm-hmm. It's just not a deal that is done yet, and that's not how it works.
No, tariffs.
He also, now he's misrepresenting something there. I know he's calling us, or those who are questioning him, fake news, but there is an actual campaign one-sheeter that they had about the wall that Trump 2016 put out, saying that it could be a one-time $5 to $7 billion payment in exchange for our continued payments of $23 billion to them. So take it right off the top. So he did actually, that was the first thing on that list that they could have done, write a check to us.
Plus tariffs, don't they benefit individuals and companies, not the U.S. Treasury? When you have more favorable tariff situations, it's our U.S. companies that would benefit. So I guess you could say that's good for the economy, or be penalized.
Right.
Be good for the economy, but they don't then write a check to the Treasury to represent that amount.
Right, U.S. taxpayer paying for that. And if he does this thing where he has the military, he's going to go to the military. He's going to actually strip money from the Defense Department and have the Army Corps of Engineers as part of this. Then this is an emergency plan to build a wall. And then you got people who go, well, you know, President Obama did this, when there was a flood when there was an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, yeah, because there was an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And U.S. fisheries were dying off. And BP was losing trillions of dollars on it. Yes! That's why that actually was an emergency. This is like it's been forever. That's like looking at it at Lakeshore Drive, as Violetta's going to do here in just 1 second, and going, it's an emergency out there! Or it's 5 o'clock. It's one or the other. All right, Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Governor Rauner handicapping Chicago's mayoral race.
Well, and since you mentioned it,
make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. Top 5-5 continues. We have worked our way all the way to
number 3.
Yeah, now that's Lady Gaga. I don't know that that's exactly a feminist anthem right there, is it?
Well,
it turns out it was written and produced by R. Kelly.
Hmm. Interesting.
And she released it, back in 2013. And now she is apologizing for working with R. Kelly.
At the time, everyone called her into question, how can you do so much work for domestic violence and domestic abuse when there's this cloud around him? And it seems like that wouldn't be a good collaboration, and she defended him.
Or a song called Do What You Want With My Body.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Along those lines, with him.
That, right. Doesn't that seem a little bit not about the sort of the core value that she was trying to espouse?
I think so.
Or do they not listen to the words like everybody else?
That's a bad look.
I think they're counting their money sometimes.
She said that she's sorry for both her poor judgment and when I was young, because she was young, and for not speaking out sooner. I'm very sorry. And by the way, still consider me for your consideration my job as best actress in a film. Thank you to the Oscar.
Certainly don't snub me the way they did at the Golden Globes. Right.
So this is all celebrities do now is apologize for past mistakes.
During awards season, for your consideration. If you would kindly remember me when the ballots come out for the
women voting.
Yes, that might be helpful. Thank you. Or I do also need to sell tickets to my residency in Las Vegas. Thank you. Checking in at
number two.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I moved these things around here. Jimmy Kimmel, last night, talking about he wants to build a wall just to keep everybody shut up.
So how does he get out of this without looking like he lost? And that's very simple. We pretend to build a wall. Hear me out. Trump doesn't care about the wall. Trump cares so little about this wall, he might as well start calling it Eric, okay? So let the president...
That was pretty good.
He's got a good point. Maybe give him some Legos.
Right. Show him films of the wall being built before.
Just tell him you built it.
He's already been saying they're building the wall already. He's been saying that. He says that at rallies and stuff. Oh, see, they're building the wall already.
Oh, this wall.
Which they weren't. Now they've had the fight, so it turns out that they weren't building the wall already. But okay. Oh, man. He's going to do this tonight. He's already there's a Wall Street Journal now reporting that the
it'll be announced.
Army Corps of Engineers have been consulted on this, so the military is going to have to build the wall. That's what we need. That's going to make the soldiers super happy when they're down there building a wall. All right, checking in at
number one.
It's first official day on the job. Denver Broncos head coach Vic Fangio thanks Chicago.
I first want to thank the Chicago Bears, Virginia, and George McCaskey for running a honorable and first-class operation there. It was a great experience for me there, and I had nothing but good things and good feelings from leaving there. And you can thank George. I talked to George yesterday, and I said to him, George, can I do the press conference tomorrow in my gray sweats? He calls it my gray business suit. He said, no, you can't do that. So he gave me this tie to wear. So this tie is compliments of George McCaskey and the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Does he sound like he's got sort of regret right there a little bit? Like,
you lament his time here. I mean, wow.
I did that.
Did.
Now I'm here, and I'm dizzy when I get off the plane.
Why does it smell like weed?
We looked for a house, and it turned out it was just filled with grow lights. I don't know what to do anymore. And now I'm here, I'm a little confused. And I got to move here and everything. And I don't know anybody.
We're going to miss him.
We are.
John Elway's and all kinds of nice things at dinner. Now he won't return my phone calls.
Hope he had a good steak.
I mean, they can find it because everything's like grass fed. And when I mean grass, I mean it's like marijuana fed. It's like weird, man.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news right now. Broke On Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. Isn't that about right?
I think it is.
That is exactly what I just said, I think. Yes. I'm sorry, I heard something, and I did not know if I heard this right.
Okay.
Did I in fact hear this right? Is it true that
I'm scared.
I know this sounds like a really
that Bruce Rauner Kim, can you just do that again for me? Because I heard it and it would just pass my ear in your newscast, and I thought I couldn't have heard this right. That Bruce Rauner for the mayor of the city of Chicago, he wants
Paul Vallis, he thinks is the best candidate, followed by Willie Wilson.
All right.
You did hear that correctly.
All right. Paul Vallis, followed by Willie Wilson.
What's he pulling here?
I know. What is he pulling here? Willie Wilson wouldn't even put himself in the top two.
I think he would. He came on our show and he said he's going to be in the top two.
I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win, but I don't know about really being the best president.
He called Wilson an interesting option.
For what?
A little more volatile. To be mayor. He says he's an interesting option.
Uh-huh. And a little more volatile.
Yeah, a little more volatile.
Well, he is interesting. I love Willie. I personally love him. Mm-hmm. I don't think when you look at the people running for mayor that unless Bruce Rauner is just, because he's not going to run for anything here, right? Isn't he done in politics? He should be if he's not.
He didn't say that. He said that, kind of remains to be seen. It doesn't seem like any immediate plans to do so, but he certainly didn't totally rule it out and say, I'm done with public service or any running for any public office.
Yeah, well, he said today, time will tell.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
But he also kind of said he was looking at this as like a public service, like a charity being mayor or governor.
Right. It was to him a charity.
Right.
Well, now he took a dollar salary or something, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So now he's going back to that sector, which Willie Wilson does a lot of that. Maybe that's why he's interested in him.
Can Willie Wilson just sing for us the whole time while he's mayor? Because he can belt some tunes up.
True.
Could you imagine like a singing press conference?
Be great.
With the band behind him?
And passing out cash?
It's right. That's the point.
Isn't that the ad thing? If you don't have anything to say, sing it. Same the advertising world. No, I mean, you would break through. And that's one of the problems right now with so many candidates, just trying to break through and see where everybody stands. And it's quickly approaching.
He really has a nice personality when you meet him.
Oh, he's great.
He demands your attention.
He's as a human being, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
But he kind of has that political thing.
But he doesn't. But when you get into the policy with him.
Well.
That's where it gets a little weird.
We can't really.
And Rauner's got to know that.
Well, he also admitted in this article that, he's been friends with Paul Vallis and Willie Wilson for a long time, and he talks to them a lot. So, take that for what it's
worth. He says he's very fond of Vallis and Wilson. Don't agree with them on everything. Don't agree with myself some mornings. So that's okay.
Oh, that was clear. All right. So when Willie gets in the morning, how many times do you think Rauner goes, what? Wait, what?
What'd I just say?
I'm gonna
take everybody living in the town, and I'm gonna move them across to Bering County, Michigan.
Why?
And then we're gonna repaint the entire town, and then we're gonna bring them all back.
We're gonna repaint it?
That's what we're gonna do.
I mean, it's stuff like that. I mean, there's
like, what?
It's like his proposals in his commercials are like there are things like they're like, wait, you're gonna do what?
We're gonna open up a casino. Right now, we're gonna reopen Maysfield because we need an airport in Maysfield. We're gonna reopen that right next to put a casino, and then the casino is gonna be the airport runway for Maysfield.
What do you think of the current mayor, Willie?
Now,
Ron Manuel.
Now he's a guy that doesn't know what he's doing at all.
Does everyone get $20 when you become mayor? You just hand them out to
everybody? And now I'm going to go down, and everybody in City Chicago is going to get Chris Nucino.
A what?
What?
Chris, what are they getting?
Chris Nucino.
Chris Nucino.
That's awesome.
This guy, I want to thank him.
You know what? I'm kind of behind this now.
Yeah.
And you're freakishly really good at that.
Picked up a couple voters there, I think.
I think he did. Hey, listen, I love the guy.
What a success story. Think of his life story. It's amazing what he's achieved. Amazing.
But the policy is not fully thought out. I think there are moments, even I've said to him, I don't think that makes much sense.
I know. I'm working on it.
I'm working on it.
Could this mayoral race turn into the presidential race where you wake up the next day and you're like, what happened?
Yeah. Right, and even Willie is surprised that he's standing at the
exactly.
No, no, look here. Don't vote for me for mayor.
Well, it's going to be a runoff. You know, that's the thing, no matter what it is. I think the only person I think is likely to be in the runoff who, like, stands, she's kind of her own figure in this. She doesn't, everybody has a mini-me in this. Everybody has somebody, well, Willie doesn't. I make that perfectly clear. There's no one quite like Willie. But you know, so there's always, every person has at least one or two other contestants who are from their profile. So you're like, you know, do you want, like Gary Chico and Paul Vallis. That's like, how do I know the difference? What's actually going on there?
Yeah, and you might even, some people might even say Gary McCarthy, similar, but
well, Gary McCarthy's a little different because but you know, you got that. He's a little bit different, but he plays it, you know, then the Bill Daly. You got a lot of guys who were kind of like, you could see them siphoning votes off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys would wish that the other guys around them would back out.
Right, and then you saw Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot taking aim at each other quite a bit,
right,
showing probably they're sharing some voters currently in their polling.
Yep. So that's the, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Not a thing I want to do. And, Meigsville.
Meigs.
Do we still have
that? We're going to make Meigsville. Make Meigsville into extended runway, and we're going to put 747 in it. I'm going to be a little loud downtown.
We're going to land 747?
Land 747 in.
Why would we do
that? Then we have a downtown airport, so we don't have to dig a hole in the ground. Get it out of here. It's like, okay. All right.
Sounds good, Willie.
I guess it makes as much sense as the mayor shutting it down and went overnight, right?
Bring it back.
That's one of his major. He did a commercial about bringing back Meigsville. It took me four times of watching the commercial to realize that's what he was trying to do.
I kind of liked his idea about moving everyone out to paint the city.
Yes,
and bring them back.
I didn't hear that one yet. Was that a real one?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Got a lot of about 8, 12, 15 black politicians jumping in the race now. They ain't got no business in there. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no money, all right? They need to get out of the way. If I ain't have no money, I'd be home trying to take care of my family.
I mean, preach.
It makes sense.
We got no money. We got no money. Move everybody to Bering County, Michigan, and get everybody and paint the house.
Like, what?
Whose house are we painting?
I don't know. Something like that.
The mayor's house.
It's something for us to do, you know. Just kind of, it's like a little bit of a, you know, circus. It's a little distraction from, you know, the other things that are going on.
What are we painting?
It's gonna, I don't know, but we're gonna. But I think the idea is that if it's really nice in the neighborhoods, people won't, you know, be so upset.
That's exactly right.
I feel like he would paint everything like highlighted pink and yellow.
It would be very stylish, because he's a stylish man.
Yeah.
He is a very, I mean, I...
He's bright.
Yeah, he is bright.
He's loud.
Listen, this is his one chance. When he ran for president, I told him right at the beginning, you're not going to be president.
Not like, I'm going to die.
Move the whole country out.
And I'm going to win out.
Paint the whole country, damn it.
Now we're going to move everybody to Nevada.
The casino's there.
And then what we're going to do, we're going to repaint.
The casino's there.
There's a lot of casinos. And we're gonna repaint, and then people are going to gamble while they're in Nevada. And then we're going to repaint the entire country and move everybody back.
What? What's he doing?
Wait, what are we painting?
Wait, here's...
Doesn't matter.
All right, hold on. This is for real, right? We have... Okay, I just want to make sure, because I'm never sure. I'm not even sure what's real and what isn't on the show anymore.
I think we need to legalize marijuana. That can bring in, you know, billions of dollars a year. All right. I know we got medicine in here, but some of the time, I know probably you all have one-time smokers yourself. All right.
No knows how to talk to everyone, right?
He does.
Get that support going. He hands out the money and everyone. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
he does connect. Like, I didn't like, get the Willie Wilson thing, and then he came in studio. I'm like, this guy's awesome.
He is awesome.
Big heart.
Oh, huge. And mm-hmm. he'll be the first to admit. I mean, you know, the verbal presentation is not his strong suit. Obviously, he's a numbers guy. He's a business guy. Very successful business guy. Figured out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he has run a number of successful businesses.
Mm-hmm. He has.
It's just a little different. He's more successful as a businessman than even Donald Trump, one could argue, because he came from nothing.
Absolute nothing.
Right?
Absolute nothing. Sharecropper's son from the South, moved up here, high school education, barely, not even, and just sort of built it from being the maintenance man at a single McDonald's and was able to build that into
crazy.
Owning several franchises.
Right. I'm voting for him.
Yeah, I'll tell you that exactly right.
That's why Bruce Rauner wants him. You know, Bruce Rauner's on the phone going, I'm sorry, wait, say that again?
Now, Megsville. Now, what do I got to do in Megsville? I'm going to make it in a big marijuana farm.
And reopen it.
Might already
and land a 747 on it.
Now we're going to land a 747 on it, and then we're going to make a casino on it, and we're going to also, underneath the casino, we're going to have a hydroponic farm for the marijuana.
Wait,
it's
do we
all
have,
making sense.
All right, here he is on casinos.
You're going to have to come up with new ideas. You had to come up. We did it last time when we talked about how you fixed this city. Well, I mentioned then, I still mentioned today, and I know we got a lot of passing here, but I don't yammer, but we need a casino in Chicago, all right? And I tell you one thing, that when I go over in Hammond, Indiana, I see a lot of you all in them casinos over there, all right?
I'm in Indiana.
Nah, if you can't get to Barron County, for when we move everybody from the big paint job.
Big paint job.
You think PPG's going to help them with that?
Yeah, I think they are. We can get PPG Paints to do this. It'd be all in.
Can you paint the entire city for us? Thanks.
Yes, and we need to get it done in like 3 days, because there's not a lot
to do in
Barron County, Indiana, or Michigan. All right. Let's maybe, you know what? Maybe Bruce Rauner's right. And now that I've talked it out
mm-hmm.
for the last 10, 15 minutes.
It's starting to make sense to me.
It makes
now.
A lot of sense to me. Maybe Willie Wilson is the answer.
We're getting a casino, bringing back the airport, and
a
weed farm. What else, what else could you want out of America?
And a new paint job.
And a new paint job. That's what the city needs.
And he's passing out 20s on Michigan Avenue.
Saying that for years. We need a fresh paint job.
All right. Let's find out from Kim what's happening in the real news.
R. Kelly's music, more than surviving, it's thriving online.
All right. Solving all of the world's problems, starting right here in Chicago. The Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
You'll see Willie tonight if you want to watch the candidates for him on WGN-TV.
I'm in, sold.
It is great. They were here. I was just telling a friend of mine last night about this, that because I consistently get the question,
mm-hmm.
is this Willie Wilson guy for real? Because he's got commercials, right? People right. are noticing him.
Self-funded $1 million for his own campaign. So he's up there in the top four or five of fundraisers.
And I said, yes. And I said that Willie played our last show of 2018
mm-hmm.
here. He brought his band in. And I think, what was it, 13 pieces in that band?
Oh, easily. It was a whole crew of talented musicians with great spirit and amazing talent. Really fun.
Yeah, he has a gospel show, Sensation, which runs on Channel 9. So it's a nationally syndicated show. It's been on for years. And, the guy's got... He is singly the most entertaining guy. I do not imagine Rahm Emanuel showing up with a 13-piece orchestra and performing Christmas songs or holiday songs of any sort. I just don't
Very
see it
different
happening.
Kind of mayor.
Yeah. It's not the same kind of deal.
No, it's not.
Did you see Rahm was on, This Week? I think he was on the panel on Sunday.
He's been doing a lot of national profile stuff. You see him popping up on the cable newsers.
Right. That's what he wants to go do for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Figures he's going to go take a 2-year break before he runs for the U.S. Senate if Dick Durbin doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to see happen there.
David Axelrod for a little coffee at Manny's Deli there.
Yep, for the X-Files, right?
X-Files.
Did they do that?
Yeah, it was a great interview.
That show's really good.
Yeah.
David Axelrod's really good at what he does there. But, I mean, you know, Rahm is not going away. And Rob, oh, he's going to be a pundit. He's not going to be a pundit. And I, let me tell you, as a pundit, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, you know, he even scares you when he's just sharing his opinion with you.
When he's talking about, you know, school lunches, it gets scary sometimes.
Right. You're like, oh my God, he's going to kill somebody. He has that, delivery that is so slow and so emotionally bathed that you think that he's either going to cry or reach across the desk and start choking you. You're just not sure which way it's going.
Remember his campaign ad where he was wearing the fuzzy blue V-neck sweater? And everyone's like, he's never worn that before. Because you just don't picture him in that kind of an outfit.
No.
It's just not him.
No, he's just the most... He's super intense. I think he's got a... with all of the criticism of him, you know, once you... You know, it's tough. It's easier in the cheap seats. Tough from, you know, being out on the field playing the game and doing what you got to do, right? It's true of all these guys. But... I think he's a good-hearted guy. I don't think he's a bad guy by any stretch of the imagination. But he's very willful. I can imagine he was a terror as a child. Right? I mean, that's telling him that, I think.
You know, just how competitive it was in his household. And look at how successful all three brothers are.
But this is like a layup for his brother to get him on CNN or ABC or any of that as a pundit. That's, you know, he makes one call.
Right.
And then it's all done. But the question is, what's he really up to? Is he going to go also back into the private sector? Is he going to work as a lobbyist? Is he going to work? Because then that's weird. You know, some of these guys do that. They go to these consulting firms.
Right. Will he work in another White House if a Democrat is elected?
I don't think so.
You don't think he can go back to that?
No. I think he's going to run for Senate in 2020 if Dick Durbin does not. Or in 2022, if Tammy Duckworth decides she doesn't want to run again or something, I think that's what he's waiting to do. Or he might, you know, pull a Kennedy and move and, you know, run out of New York or something. If Kristen Gillibrand runs for president, then he'll go run in New York. Although she's off cycle, so she could actually do it. But
if Bernie becomes president, he can move to Vermont.
Right, Klobuchar, he moves up to Minnesota. Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Go anywhere.
They're like, wait, wasn't he the mayor of Chicago? And then, who's asking? All right, let's stop here. While the getting is good. And we got the news coming your way in 2 minutes. 2 little minutes. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. Turns out that R. Kelly was illegally using, well, he's got good lawyers. He was using his property, his recording studio on the west side of Chicago as a recording studio, and it's not zoned for that, and as a residence.
Right. So attorneys for the city, they're asking a judge to let inspectors get into that warehouse. It was not approved as a residence, and the studio was allegedly built without a permit. And the studio would not be allowed under the zoning laws anyway. So there's a bit of a...
What do you have to zone for a studio? I'm not sure what the... Is there a special
city
zoning
lawyers,
for that?
They're just saying that the recording studio inside, that's not allowed under the current zoning conditions. Maybe it's like a manufacturing district or something over there, because that is a PMD area. It's just off of Lake Street in Ogden, sort of west of there on Laughlin, about 200 north. I'm sorry, Justine is the actual
address. Well, he's making... people uncomfortable. That's industry. He's making things.
Yeah, industrial. It has to have a certain kind of use in order to be allowed for that. But it certainly wasn't a residence. And what kind of residence was it? Is the other question.
Yeah,
but that's the big question, and probably why they were led to understand what was going on there, to see what kind of residence it was being used.
So if you have a residence, you got a bedroom. And maybe bathroom, showers, things like that.
Right.
Right? Maybe a little kitchen, some butter rolls.
Right. There were several occupants that have been listed and people noticing, neighbors noticing people coming and going.
Oh.
So it's...
The old people coming and going at all hours of the night and day. That whole thing.
Neighbors are always reliable for that, but they don't often, you know...
But do they have neighbors, or are their neighbors jackhammers? Because
I think
industrial.
It's more industrial. But people who saw people coming and
at
going.
The factory gate, they were like, "Who are those people coming and going?"
There?
There's, you know, this is that part of Chicago. There's like a pocket of Chicago right in the center. If you looked at a map of Chicago and you stuck your finger right in the center of it, there's a pocket of weirdness. That is
really
just, it's really weird around there. You don't know exactly what's going on.
And you're like, when's the nearest gas station coming up or highway entrance?
It's something over there.
It is.
I used to go to warehouse parties there, though.
See, right, it was just warehouses. But the R. Kelly warehouse had a kitchen. Mm. Because the only way to have a kitchen for R. Kelly was someplace to have sex.
Girl, you're in the kitchen cooking me a meal. Something makes me wanna come in there and get a feel. Walk around in your t-shirt with nothing else on. Strutting past, switching it while I'm on the phone. Burning up tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes. Girl, you look so sexy while you're doing a damn thing that I want. Sex in the kitchen, over by the stove. I'm gonna put you on the counter by the butter rolls.
Hands on the That's your table, favorite line, Ro.
On your tippy toe, girl. We'll be making love like the restaurant was closed.
Yeah, I don't think love is really the thing that was being made there.
Yeah.
I know, but it is catchy.
Mm-hmm. It was catchy.
Right.
You can't stop listening.
It's a love song, though, when you stop and you think about it.
Butter rolls.
It's a love song.
Rhymes with something.
Right. Potatoes. I actually like that. That was kind of a nice run there where he's kind of giving the menu on the way there, too.
I know, I'm kind of hungry now.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Kevin.
It's dinner time.
Just remind me not to eat anything at the next R. Kelly dinner party I'm invited to.
Tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes.
Who knows what to use the butter for?
Right. I mean, and then you're going to be looking at the counter.
I'm not eating off that counter.
You're going to be looking at the fingerprints on the counter and going, wait, those hands are really spread apart there. What's going on there?
I tell you.
Okay.
The whole thing's sick.
Richard Roper has stepped into the studio. I'm sorry I had to be here for this.
I'll tell you one thing, guys. What really shocks me is until this Lifetime documentary, I had never heard anything about R. Kelly doing anything inappropriate with anyone ever.
Shocking, isn't it?
It was stunning to me.
Totally shocked.
I mean, for 20 years now, we've heard nothing but the wonderful, great things that he does and how he prefers older women.
Right.
And just is so appropriate. So this is just shocking. Thank you, Lifetime.
Scary that Lifetime is the one that had to put it all together. And
if it hadn't been, if only the people who let him off when he was on trial in Chicago 10 years ago.
Right.
Well, they didn't really have a choice.
Well,
there, because the woman recanted it said it wasn't her.
They didn't have people cooperating who were the victims and their family.
Well,
that was the issue.
Go back and read the Sun Times 17 years ago. You would have known what a bad guy this
absolutely.
Guy is.
Absolutely. You would have heard all about it.
I just think I'm never going to be able to go to the vegetable section of Mariano
again. Oh, jeez, here we go.
And not think about that song.
I mean, what are they going to make vegetables and potatoes?
I have a question, too. What is the dripping sound going on there? That's
the faucet.
If that's what that is?
Okay.
Can you just play that again?
The little noise you learn to make when you're a kid, you put your finger in your cheek and kind of bloop.
Hey, Willie Wilson, explain what's happening there.
It's
the best explanation I've heard so far.
Yeah, I'm just buying property in Barron County, Michigan, right now when we move to Chicago there for 2 days while we repaint.
All right.
Oh, geez.
Let's talk to Richard Roper about the movies coming out this weekend.
Sure.
Quite a few interesting ones. All right, so Stan and Ollie, I'm interested in this. John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan play the Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, and we're talking about the biggest comedy duo in the world, but we're talking also about 80, 90 years ago, so now I don't know if everybody knows who Laurel and Hardy were, but they, before Martin and Lewis, before Abbott and Costello, they reigned supreme in Hollywood in the 30s, did all these great short films and movies together. They were graceful, gentle humor, physical humor. This is one of those behind-the-scenes movies. It shows them in the 30s, and then it picks it up in the 50s, where they're kind of forgotten, and they go on this European tour, all based on a true story.
That's all true, right?
And John C. Reilly, Chicago's own, is buried under the prosthetics and the, you know, the fat suit and everything, but is just giving a wonderful performance as Oliver Hardy. And Steve Coogan is perfect as Stan Laurel. So it's almost as if they have dual roles, because they reproduce some of the famous Laurel and Hardy routines. And, you know, a lot of it was, you know, Laurel was the hapless one. Hardy was kind of the pompous fool, but he'd end up in, you know, dripping in mud and saying, "That's another fine mess you've gotten us into." And a lot of cool little physical shtick where they'd be trading each other's hats and stuff like that. And they do that perfectly. But then we see the friendship behind the scenes, which, of course, was different in the partnership. Stan Laurel was really he was the writer, the creator. He was the real brains of the outfit. Mm-hmm. And Oliver Hardy was a guy who liked to gamble, liked the ladies, was a sweet man. But, you know, they had their ups and downs. So I'm giving a solid 3 stars to this film. And it's you know, it's nice just to see one of these films that just tells a story without being too scandalous, but kind of sticks to the facts. And whether you know Laurel and Hardy or not, I think you can enjoy it. And you can watch it with your parents, you can watch it with the grandparents, you can watch it with the grandkids. It's a good, wholesome tale, if you will, about two great comedy legends.
It's interesting that they went and made a movie like this.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you know, they got to know from the start it's not going to be a huge
box
hit.
Office, right?
But I think we have a little clip here, and you can tell, you'll hear John C. Reilly's voice even as you're hearing Oliver Hardy's voice, which I like.
I couldn't sleep for days when they told me what you did, and I couldn't sleep when I did it. But you still did it. You betrayed me. Betrayed our friendship. Friendship? We're friends because Hal Roach put us together. And the only reason we stayed together was because the audience wanted it. I have real friends. And yes, we play golf. And we go to ball games. And we have sauerkraut on our bratwurst.
People will remember our movies long after you've finished your hot dog. You know something? You're just a lazy ass who got lucky because you met me.
Lucky? To spend my life with a hollow man who hides behind his typewriter? You're not real, Stan. You're hollow.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
That's one of their lower moments together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know.
Yeah. I've had conversations like that with people. You know, this is kind of an interesting story, because there was a moment. Hal Roach, of course, was the great silent film producer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when talkies started, he continued on, but not with the kind of success.
Exactly.
And Stan Laurel came over with Charlie Chaplin.
Yes, it goes all the way that far back.
Do they go back in that?
Yeah. No, they talk a little bit about that. Yeah. And Danny Houston plays Hal Roach, which is kind of great, because Danny Houston is Angelica Houston's half-brother and the grandson of Walter Houston,
right,
also from Hollywood royalty. And he plays Hal Roach, the studio head in this film.
It's a pretty cool thing. The story of how, and he came over, they were in the theater, he and Chaplin were in the theater together, mm-hmm. and then they came over to the United States and they barnstormed the United States doing stuff. And then Chaplin stopped here in Chicago, made some movies in 1915, and then went out to Hollywood, obviously, and then went and did his thing. And I think that the reason that Laurel and Hardy became such that Hal Roach really wanted to invest in him, because that style, that pratfall style of comedy that the Brits had brought over from vaudeville there, mm-hmm. to here, was really working on film, more so than the American actors were working.
Exactly. And one of the sweetest things about their partnership, Oliver Hardy died, I want to say, in the mid-50s, and then Stan Laurel lived about 10 years longer. He was offered, you know, roles in some of those, like, you know, it's a mad, mad, mad world type things, but he didn't mm-hmm. want to do it. But for the 10 years after Oliver Hardy died until Stan Laurel died, Stan Laurel kept writing skits and films for Laurel and Hardy, just to kind of keep the memory of their partnership alive, and to kind of, and knowing obviously his partner was gone, but he kept writing material for them.
So John Pretty T. Reilly, is he up for, could he be nominated for an Oscar?
You know, that was the thing about this film. You know, they were put it out there late December, just coming to Chicago now, thinking maybe it'd get some awards buzz, but it doesn't seem to be getting that. Although the acting is that caliber, it's just such a kind of an under-the-radar subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the performances are great, but, you know, I think that the ship has sailed in terms of nominations.
Maybe makeup and hairstyling, though?
Great makeup, I will say. Because, you know so much, even if you barely know who those guys are. And the first time you see John C. Reilly, you're like, oh my gosh, look at that makeup. Jeez. And then you forget about it, because he's so good.
Awesome. I like him.
So Nicole Kidman 2 for coming up here.
Yes.
Nicole Kidman is battling herself this weekend at the box office.
Yes.
We'll talk about that after we find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom.
Is President Trump getting closer to declaring a national emergency to get his border wall?
Yes.
We'll let you know.
Yes. The answer is that yes. Violetta.
Why can't we listen to Aretha? Hmm? You want to feed your soul? Then listen to its queen. Think about it. Yeah. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Think. It's amazing, ain't it? I sound just like her.
Yeah. When I close my eyes, which I needed to, it's uncanny. It's like identity theft.
That is a clip from The Upside, the Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston, Nicole Kidman movie that is coming out that they've been promoting pretty heavily on television. They spent some money on this, mm-hmm. Richard Roper.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, a clip perfectly encapsulates what is wrong with the disaster of a movie. As you can hear there, for those of you who haven't figured out what this movie is about yet, Bryan Cranston is the billionaire quadriplegic who hires Kevin Hart, who is the ex-con, mm-hmm. who's never thought of anyone but himself to be his personal caretaker. Now, why would a billionaire who could hire anybody and has this incredible staff and the biggest penthouse apartment in New York City, why would he hire the ex-con who just showed up so he could get his, you know, parole officer to see that he's trying for work? He hires him because we need a movie. And the movie now is going to have the carefree black felon who's never been good to his woman or his son and has always lied his way through life. He's now going to teach the uptight billionaire quadriplegic how to learn to live and love again. And let's start off with some Aretha Franklin. And the stereotypes just come on through for 2 hours and 6 minutes of dreck. And this movie is, and look, Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart are actually really good together. This is one of Kevin Hart's more grounded performances. But my gosh, I mean, once again, you know, playing the black convict who's got the record and, you know, he can get the good street weed for Bryan Cranston's character and he can teach him how to, you know, boogie as well as he can in his wheelchair to Aretha Franklin. And in the meantime, of course, Bryan Cranston's character teaches Kevin Hart for self-worth and, you know, you're more intelligent than you give yourself credit for. We just saw this movie. It's called Green Book. A month ago, it's the same movie, and it's just traffics and all those things you can see
away. That movie plays the other way.
Exactly. It's based on a French movie, which is based on a true story, and I think we're pretty far away from the true story. And part of the problem, too, with the Bryan Cranston character of Philip, he's this extremely wealthy guy who he got paralyzed in a paragliding accident when he went paragliding in a thunderstorm.
As one way.
While his wife was dying of cancer and he needed to get out into the and kind of just, you know, have a little fun on his own. So you're like, well, you're an idiot.
A strange backstory.
Yeah, so it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, what happened to him? He was paralyzed in a paragliding accident during a thunderstorm, and then his wife dies of cancer. So he's feeling sorry for himself. But then Kevin Hart shows up with his scraggly beard and his army jacket and really shakes up all the white folk in the building and in Bryan Cranston's life. 1.5 stars for The Upside.
Oh, man. Now you know
Don't
he's out there.
Say I didn't warn you. You know this is the kind of movie where like, okay, so he gets a job as a caretaker, right? I mean, this is like, it's going to be a live-in caretaker job. You have to be like a professional nurse,
right?
A physical therapist. And you know 5 minutes into this movie when he gets this job, there is going to be a catheter changing scene. Ugh. You know there's going to be.
That's in the TV commercial.
There's two, actually.
Yeah. That's what she said is the punchline to that.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, come on.
Lazy writing.
Lazy stuff.
I guess now you know.
Script went through a lot of rewrites, which always tells you there's a lot of problems.
He's been doing so much pub for this, and even though he's got all that Oscars heat on him, and he doesn't want to be asked about that anymore, it makes sense, I suppose.
Hey, Rich, you want to, maybe the three of us go host the Oscars?
Sure, why not? What do we got to lose?
They have it all figured out now. They're just going to have their A-listers present and have some musical acts, and it's all going to be good.
It's,
no host.
It's been hostless before, about 7 times mm-hmm. in the history of the Academy Awards, and we all survived.
So we'll be hostless. Is that official today?
Yeah, they're just, nobody will do it. Nobody, I mean,
because there's not enough time
point,
to prepare? Is that the issue? Or
it's partially that, and it's like, you know, when Steve Carell was here a couple of weeks ago, and he said it's just a thankless job even before all this. It always mm-hmm. has been. The next day, or the night of now, almost all the reviewers go, Jon Stewart bombed. It's not Jon Stewart's fault that the thing goes on for 4 hours, right. But they just blame it on the host, who comes out for 8 minutes, tells his jokes, and then pretty much disappears for most of the show.
Now,
but yeah, if you want to host, I think, you know, there's probably valet parking and everything for you, bro. You and Anna go right there.
Is there a movie worth seeing this weekend? There's the other Nicole Kidman movie. Is it Good Destroyer?
Yeah, very quickly. I say Destroyer. Nicole Kidman plays this badass L.A. cop who 20 years ago went undercover with the gang and things went really sideways. And now it looks like the gang leader's back out. And this is one of those performances where typically the guy would be playing this role, you know, the alcoholic, you know, rogue detective who's, you know, going off the grid to kind of solve the crimes. But Nicole Kidman takes on the role, and she's great in it. So that's definitely worth seeing. But you got to know, it's really intense, R-rated stuff. But that actually is an award-worthy performance by Nicole Kidman, and they did release that in New York and L.A. just in time for Oscar nomination. So if you hear Nicole Kidman, Destroyer, what is that? It's the movie that's out this weekend. So that's worth seeing.
All right. Well, so there you
go. Just don't do the upside. There's no upside to it. I'm telling you, man.
All right. It cannot stand on its own 2 feet.
Loud. Too soon.
Oh.
Would you like to play News or Ruse?
Sure.
312-981-7200.
Can I call?
Yeah, go ahead. Go in the other room. Go in the room where they're answering the phone calls.
My friends always complain to me they can never get through on News or Ruse.
312-981-7200. We've got, it's a big deal. It's a $50 Eli's Cheesecake gift card.
Dang.
Oh, I love Eli's.
That's nice right there. That gets you a pretty big cheesecake right there. All right.
It's true.
Thank you very much, Richard. You have...
my pleasure.
You have ruined... Because I really wanted to go see a romping comedy about a guy in a wheelchair. That was exactly what I was looking for.
Bryan Cranston, between that and Breaking Bad. I mean, come on. Feel better. He's a great actor.
He is a great actor. Geez, and I get the idea of what they kind of want to do there. It's sort of this liberating thing, but it's still weird because it's a pee pee caca jokes, right?
And of course, the inevitable, he's got all these pain medications, but Kevin Hart knows where to get the really good stuff on the street. Get him that pot. And then you get the inevitable, let's get 18 hot dogs. You know, we're high scene, which was pretty relevant and hip in 73, 74 when Cheech and Chong were doing it.
Oh, gee.
Lazy, 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 as Rose said.
All right. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News being brought to you by Townstone Financial.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. And Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart are playing today.
Awesome.
The Kathy and Frank Show.
Hi.
Which debuts tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the 720 WGN.
Very exciting.
Get ready.
I hear callers. Hold on. I'm not ready for the callers yet.
Callers are ready.
Yeah. Not ready. We got too many things to get to here, including, the winner. You know what the winner's going to get? The winner's going to get something pretty cool. $50 Eli's Cheesecake gift card made in Chicago, loved everywhere. Send cheesecakes and desserts anywhere in the United States of America, or treat yourself to something sweet, shop EliCheesecake.com, 800-ELI-CAKE. That's E-L-I, Eli Cake.
Good stuff.
And Never Measure. Everybody gets a Never Measure. Because Frank.
What's a Never Measure?
Frank.
I know.
Frank.
All right. I know.
Frank, you need to know a measure. Never Measure.
Tell me, please.
Come on.
A Never Measure is the greatest measuring tool since your finger. It is the...
Which I use often. I really do.
I use my foot. You know, when you do roughly 1 foot.
An arm, depending how big. Yeah.
So, the width of my thumb, really, is the way I look at it. But is it my thumb, a finger? I don't know. Anyway, the point is that they use that laser technology. You put it up, you can tell different distances in a room. And, if you want to center something on a wall, my God. It's okay. I cannot believe that you not know.
You know why? Yeah. I was totally thrown because I was thinking row, and I'm thinking alcohol, measuring alcohol. I don't know why I put those two
together.
I never
measure that either, but that's a separate issue.
See? You need a measuring tool for your alcohol.
That's what we like to call a heavy pour. Yes. All right, so that's what we've got. And what's coming up tonight at 7 o'clock for you guys?
Us? Yeah. The Consumer Electronics Show is going on, so we're going to talk about all the exciting things. Speaking of drinking, about making your own beer at home.
With a push of a button.
Yes.
Really?
Is it like coffee? You know, put the little cups in there? Yeah. Boom.
Oh,
beer.
Really? Yeah. But what's like from concentrate kind of an idea?
I don't know. Homebrew somehow. I don't know.
Let me just tell you something. When the homebrew thing started like 20, 25 years ago, and people would have you over to their garage to have their beer, and you would literally, you'd sip it, and then you'd try to walk around the corner and pour it in the bushes.
It was so bad.
And then somehow it led to this beer revolution, which is great. The beer revolution is great. Yeah. Some of the craft stuff is amazing, right? Better than you could ever possibly imagine. However, this idea of doing it in your own house, it's kind of okay. But
mixed results. I suppose you could really come up with something great.
Let's hope they perfected it. But it's similar to the Keurig, where you just get an individual coffee, you get an individual beer.
And it just does something with it.
Who
just
knows?
Makes it into something.
That's not all we're talking about.
Why don't you just buy a bottle of beer? That's what I'd like to know. I want you to ask that question, you guys, tonight. I just want you to pin down. I want it to be like a Chris or a Mike Wallace or Chris Wallace interview with, you know, with the beer. Why would I just buy a beer?
Why can't I just open one?
Yeah. There you go. That's
very good question.
Right question.
Think
right
about
there.
It.
All right, here we go. Have you understand what's going to happen here on News and Ruse?
Roughly.
A little bit. Bear with us.
Frank was asking me who won World War II a little bit earlier. He's apparently sleep deprived or something.
I don't know. I just put blinders on and walk through life.
Yeah.
Like this.
It's a good way to go through life. It's going to be entertaining.
Focus.
Right.
Very focused.
All right, so here we go. Angela is playing with Kim. Jacob is playing with Violetta, and Ray is playing with Frank and Kathy.
Ray.
So we're going to start with you, Angela. You there?
I am.
All right, Angela and Kim, here is your headline. Ohio school removes police officer after principal gets ticket for parking in handicapped space. Oh, boy.
Oh, that 100% sounds like news. What do you think?
I think it's news.
There you go.
Way to go. All right, Jacob, Violetta, here is your headline. Evidence eaten after Atlanta teacher allegedly gave students pot brownies.
Oh. That sounds pretty real.
I think someone just flatlined.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
That sounds pretty real.
Okay, I'm going with you. News.
You got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, nice. Ray, Frank, and Kathy.
All right,
here
Ray.
Here is your headline. Ready? Atlantic City naked unicycle rider canceled after threats of violence.
Threats of violence?
I don't know what you guys think.
I'm sorry. Atlantic City naked unicycle ride canceled after threats of violence.
Well, rider. Let's think about this. This is Jersey, right? Not Vegas.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. They can get a little raunchy there.
But
it's naked. It's against the law.
I know you people are really overthinking this.
It sounds too good.
Ray,
to
what
be
do you
real.
Think?
What do you think?
My girlfriend's telling me she thinks it's a ruse.
I agree. I'm with you. I'm
a lot
with
of
you.
People on this team.
Oh, that was good. Right there are a lot of people. And by the way, who's your girlfriend? Is it Carol Marie?
Carol Marie.
All right.
She's not Googling, is she?
Yeah.
No, she's not.
Is it Judy Pilak?
Right. Oh,
Judy Pilak. This is the way that she's stuck
known.
Back into the game.
Tell her to back off.
All right, here we go.
Okay, Angela and Kim Gordon, here is your headline. News chopper bus staff playing Mario Kart on stadium big screen.
Oh, that sounds like news, too. What do you think? I mean,
I think it's
you have
ruse.
An opportunity when you do it?
No, I think it's ruse.
You think it's ruse? Okay, I'm listening to you.
Oh,
cool. That's right. That was in Kansas City.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That was a bit of a little bit of a mistake right there. All right, here we go. Jacob and Violetta, here's your headline. Nuns on the run. Vatican launches athletics team and targets Olympics.
Great.
That doesn't seem very real to me.
I think it does because they want to, they need to exercise, I think.
They need exercise?
No, like to get rid of energy. Like, whatever. I don't know.
Pent-up sexual frustration.
Wow.
Oh, for God's sake. Wow. You know, the Frank and Kathy show was a wonderful experiment.
Yes.
Thank you for stopping by.
They
didn't make it to the premiere. How did that happen?
They said we could take the gloves off at night.
You're out of here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That is what I meant, though.
Thank you. I knew what you meant.
You know what? You didn't have to jump in either.
I was the one talking.
Everyone's getting suspended.
This is my question, Jacob.
All right, what do you want? Yes or no? Is it news or do we make it up?
Okay, we're going ruse because Jacob says so.
Oh, boy.
Nope.
Too bad.
It's nope. News?
It's news.
They're
going to have an Olympic track team over at the Vatican.
They're going to do it. Why not? That'll be fun to watch. All right, Ray and Frank and Kathy, here is the headline. BBC art expert reveals rare painting worth thousands of pounds was destroyed by his cat. Oh.
I would say news, wouldn't you?
Did it use it as like a litter box or clawed it?
Never know what cats.
What's the translation of pounds to dollars?
That sounds too real. Ray?
Well, I say because cats are evil, I'm going to have to go with its news.
Mm-hmm. You got
it. All right. How about that? It's Banksy the cat right there destroying
right.
the... All right, hold on one second. We're gonna stop down here. Kim, I want you people to think about what you just did on the phones right there. And I want you two to think about what you just did. You especially, Frank Fontana.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. We'll come right back to News or Ruse. But first, Kim Gordon, what's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour? Do you know Do you care?
I don't know. I'm all into news or ruse, and I really don't care.
I know. That's what I thought. This is always the moment where we do this with Judy, and you know, during news or ruse, I was like, what are you asking me for?
Somebody else.
Come here. Ow! Ow!
Do you miss your daily beatings?
You want me to make something up?
No.
Be a news or
no,
ruse?
No, it's all right. Violetta, why don't you do the traffic brought to you by TSA PreCheck? All right, we're playing news or ruse.
Yes, we are.
And we got, there's great controversy about this particular news or ruse edition. I don't know exactly know what it is, but I know that we have it.
Scandalous.
It is.
Violetta's fault.
I know. Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart are here. They're going to hold forth here, coming your way at 7 o'clock tonight. It's the world premiere of the Kathy and Frank show. And this is, and right now, you guys are, you're in the lead.
We are?
We are. Yeah. Two for two.
Yeah, you're two for two.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Ray, we're
Angela
killing it.
And Kim. And Jacob and Violetta are at just one correct. So this is to stay in it, Angela and Kim.
All right, Angela.
Here you go. This is the Orion Samuelson round. Here is your headline.
Florida's millennials are the drunkest in the world, a study finds.
Oh, I'm saying news on that.
I'm saying ruse.
Okay.
So where do you go? I mean, okay.
Well, why?
You can't just go, okay. I need an answer.
Discuss. Argue.
All right, Angela. I mean, I think they like to party in Florida, but, you know, it's up to
all
you.
All right. I'll go along with
all
you.
All right.
Oh, well, this was the...
Now you feel bad.
Terrible mistake, Angela.
What is it, Wisconsin?
But you're getting... You know what? You're getting a never measure, which is better than your thumb. So hold on. Hold on. We'll get you that. We'll get your information. All right. Now, this is interesting. Because Jacob and Violetta, if you don't get this right, Frank and Kathy and Ray, they just walk away with this thing.
Mm. Boom.
Yeah. Right?
Let's do it.
Lame. No pressure.
All right. Here's your headline.
Female Nobel Prize winner deemed not important enough for a Wikipedia entry.
Well, that's sad.
I'm going to have to go with news. Wikipedia's been kind of weird with asking people to donate $3 lately.
Jacob, I'm totally picking up what you're putting down. News. You got it.
Wow,
yeah.
You stayed alive right there.
Wow. So,
okay, and let me just say this thing about the donate. If you don't donate, how are they going to pay?
That's true.
Right? How are they going to pay their people?
I listen to that holiday appeal.
Have you paid?
I have, yeah.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I use it all the time. We couldn't do the show without it.
Oh.
It's not right, and half the stuff about me isn't correct, but it doesn't matter.
I don't. Yeah. As long as it's entertaining,
yeah,
it helps with like the basic stuff. Where are they from? When you know, roughly.
I mean, most of the stuff is
right.
Who puts it in there? Like who?
That's
the
it. The people you're paying $3 to. That's the whole point. Okay. I'm all for helping the journalist and the artist. It's, that's what I'm all.
They
about.
Need it.
All right, here we go. This is for the win. Frankie, Kathy, and Ray. Here is your headline.
Man says ghost planted meth on him.
Oh, that's true. That's for sure.
It's got to be true.
Oh, man.
Any excuse to get out of going to jail.
Ray, what do you think, man?
I'm going with you guys. I think this one's true.
Don't go with us, please.
You got it.
Really?
You're right.
Yeah. Big
well
win
done.
Right there.
Wow.
If somebody's about to get busted, they're going to come up with any crazy story.
Yeah, I was believing it, too.
Especially if they're on meth.
And you would know. I mean,
my dentist put me on it because it was... going to be at least $6,000 to fix this problem.
You know what, Frank? The nun that was running in the Olympics actually gave it to me to hold for her.
She did.
She was sexually frustrated.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
So she encountered a ghost.
I don't understand. It's like, you know what this is like? This is like suicide by microphone is what Violetta's trying to do here.
Yep.
Are you on for the rest of the night with us?
I hope so,
too.
You can stay.
They just cut my mic.
Yeah. Right.
And your salary.
Yes. And right. And her career.
Yeah.
And all of that. All right. So there you go. So now let me just tell everybody what they want again. It's a $50 Eli's Cheesecake gift card made in Chicago. Loved everywhere. Send cheesecakes and desserts anywhere in the United States or treat yourself to something sweet. Shop EliCheesecake.com or 800-ELI-CAKE. And a never measure. Everybody gets a never measure. Easily center level and hang your wall decorations fast. Eliminate the need for measuring tape or to calculate fractions. Who could do that?
No, who wants to, right? Mm-hmm. Kathy and Frank, I thought you guys were on together already before.
Yeah.
So this is sort of the second global premiere.
This is 2.0.
We were doing Sundays, and
that's
I guess,
God's day, by the way, but well, not according to Violetta. But go ahead.
That's why we're not on it anymore.
That's why they took
God
us off.
Take these guys off Sunday, please.
We would get texts from people. Oh my God, this is what you're replacing so and so. This is what we get.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd talk about earwax and yeah.
That kind of broke the
gross juvenile
back,
things.
Yeah. They're like, Bruin Evenings. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If right. you're looking for smart political talk or headlines that have any seriousness to them, no, that's not us.
No.
All right, so it's a lot of fun. It's 7 o'clock. Stay tuned and listen to this. And if Violetta joins them, they're all going to get fired. If she doesn't join them, there is a possibility that these two could stay on the air. I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens there.
I think it sounds fun.
We might have Avril Lavigne on the show tonight.
Maybe.
She might be calling from her tour bus on the way to Vegas.
Might have Avril Lavigne.
Wait, what?
They're like, she wanted to do an interview at 2 o'clock, and we're like, no, we're not coming in that early. But and they said, well, she's going to be on her tour bus. I said, well, have her call from her tour bus. Right. So yeah. We'll see. They said, okay.
That's the kind of weight that she could throw around. It's like, Avril, no, we're not coming at 2 o'clock.
It's wait and see.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Come later.
She might be on.
That is the best tease ever. That is the best. We don't know.
Stay tuned.
We have no idea who's going to be on the show. You know what? We might have Bob Hope on the show. He might not really be dead.
Yep.
I mean, that's for years they had him on.
See the ghost that was planning meth?
Yes.
What's the quickest show that's ever been canceled on radio?
Oh, I think I think Ian that. Punnett here was pretty fast.
Yeah, was it a day?
I remember
or
that.
A couple hours?
It was a shorter run. You know, GN is known for these monolithic figures, right?
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing here, but that's what it's known for. And I remember when Ian took over afternoons here. He talked about hair. On like bare chest hair, and then somehow the word nipple got used, and then the next thing you know, it was like, go see the general manager in his office.
Wow, we better be careful.
How long was Jim Lasky on? Do we remember? Didn't he have a show?
I think we don't have to check the Lasky versus Punnett.
It was pretty close.
I don't know.
Pretty close.
Are you trying to kill me before I start the news? I'm like getting the shakes already. Andrew's with all these
names. I remember that.
Oh
yes.
God.
Well, how long was he in here? Ian did stay for a while, right?
Oh, year and a half?
Yeah.
I want to say?
Yeah.
Lasky was shorter. I want to say Lasky.
So Lasky holds the record, do you think?
I think so.
For shortest?
Yeah, easily.
Okay.
And that was a year you said about?
Lasky was less than a year.
Less than a
year. I'd say 9 months, maybe.
Wow.
It's about what he did. That's about right.
I'd have to go reach back into that
vault.
Right. You try to keep that firmly shut.
That vault.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're in the vault now.
Yeah. I think I am.
Hey, I don't know what's going on. All right. Here we go. Andrea, standing by. She is in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom, and she is going to give you the news in 2 minutes.